straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. Al Jazeera TV is airing an audio tape apparently made by the number two man in Al-Qaeda. The voice in the tape calls on Pakistanis to overthrow their government. There were reports Ayman al-Zawahiri was trapped by Pakistani troops, but officials now say that doesn't seem to have been the case. Pakistan is cracking down on suspected terrorists. Members of the commission looking into the 9/11 attack say their final report won't pull any punches. But Commissioner Tim Romer tells MSNBC he's not out to point fingers.
We don't need a huge witch hunt. We need to fix the problem. We need to fix the problem in the FBI so that we have better sharing of information or better domestic capability. Those are some of the answers that we're going to look at on this commission.
The panel has wrapped up 2 days of public testimony. Its official report expected in a few months. Security has been tightened at some Texas chemical plants along the Gulf of Mexico. The FBI says it's hearing threats from overseas sources, and so the agency is urging extra caution. Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Want huge savings? Don't miss the JCPenney huge sale. This Friday and Saturday, everything is on sale. No exceptions, no exclusions. Plus, save even more when you shop early Saturday from 8 to 1 for fantastic doorbusters and an extra 10% off sale and clearance prices store-wide. So hurry in. This Friday and Saturday, everything is on sale. No exceptions, no exclusions. The JCPenney huge sale. JCPenney. Exclusions apply for extra savings. See store for details. Ends March 27th.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 71 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This KNRC Traffic Report is brought to you by... This is KeyBank, and really kind of a tough drive. Northbound I-25 at C-470, still trying to get a very serious accident out of the way involving two semis. We do have another problem, a hit-and-run accident, I-25 over 84th. Westbound I-70 just passed I-25, an accident as well. KeyBank, want more for your money? Key offers free checking with interest. Open your account at a Key Center today or call 1-888-KEY-1234 for more information. The solution is Key. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, the phase of the Kobe Bryant pretrial hearings related to Colorado's rape shield law is complete. Under the law, a rape victim's sexual history is presumed irrelevant at trial. The defense, though, is trying to overcome that with testimony regarding the sex life of the woman accusing Bryant of rape. About a dozen people are said to have testified in the closed-door hearings. That list includes the alleged victim, her college roommate, a bellhop at the hotel where the alleged incident took place, and concluded this morning with a former boyfriend. The hearing continues today on the defense's motion to suppress statements and clothing provided by Bryant to Eagle County Sheriff's deputies. Meantime, Bryant's accuser is requesting swift resolution of pending motions in the sexual assault case. Bryant's 19-year-old accuser, through her attorney, is also asking the judge to set a trial date. This report brought to you by Health One. To cope with rising power demands, XL Energy wants to increase the voltage they're pumping through power lines, but with that comes increased noise. The people who live near the big power lines say the lines are too noisy already. XL wants allowable noise levels near the lines raised to 70 decibels, and the utility says that as power lines are upgraded, they'll be raised from the present height of 85 feet to 110 feet, which will mean lower noise levels for those living near those power lines. Suspended University of Colorado football coach Gary Barnett tells the Rocky Mountain News that he didn't intimidate a woman who told him that she was raped by one of his players. Barnett says the player told him a different story, and he says that he and the athletic department followed the woman's wishes and kept the issue private. The woman didn't press charges in the alleged October 2001 incident. Barnett says he told the woman he would handle the situation the way she wanted, but that if the player told a different story, he would support the player. For the second year in a row, the Colorado State Fair has lost money. Fair supporters say that while the fair itself may lose money, it brings in additional funds from visitors staying in the state and spending money. The losses are being blamed on lower box office sales. Critics say the fair shouldn't be allowed to be a drain on the state's finances. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche welcomed the Detroit Red Wings to the Pepsi Center tonight. Avs beat the Wings 5-2 when they last met on Valentine's Day. Spring training continues for the Colorado Rockies today with a game against the San Francisco Giants this afternoon. Yesterday, the Rocks lost a close one to the D-backs, dropping the game at High Corbett Field 10-9. The hospitals and surgical centers of Health One are sponsoring a career fair until 4 p.m. today at Wings Over the Rockies. Information at HealthOneCares.com or call 877-HEALTH-1. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
When you need to know information, you never have to wait.
Now.
Talk and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Information now.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, what do you have there?
Oh, this? It's a ticket to a singles party at Coors Field Summit Room. I got this as a bonus for signing up at that singles company called Cottonwood Connection. They're having this great spring membership drive, so all their memberships are half off. Plus, you get this ticket to this party at Coors Field.
Sounds interesting. Tell me more about Cottonwood Connection.
This singles company is the best I've seen so far. They simply help singles connect through a variety of fun events and activities, and also they have this great profiling system that you can view other people's videos right on your computer at home.
I bet they're expensive.
Not at all. They're a quality singles company, and it won't cost you an arm and a leg to join.
Well, I'm not a big baseball fan.
Oh, there you go again, making excuses to get out of something that is good for you. Come on, step out of your box and step into what you want in life.
Ooh, will you buy me cotton candy or a snow cone?
Hey, that's not going to look cool in front of the women at the party, dude.
Call Cottonwood Connection at 303-424-2300 or visit their website at cottonwoodconnection.com and take advantage of their half-off special and free ticket to the Coors Field party. That's 303-424-2300.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're warm again today, but we're going to be even warmer tomorrow. Today, we're looking to tie our record high, 75, lots of sun, just a few clouds. Tonight, clear down to 40, and tomorrow, sunshine comes back for more. Our high, near 80. And for Saturday, clouds and sun, could see an afternoon thunderstorm, cooler, near 60. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 71 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35, or when it breaks, on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We have a lot cooking today. We're going to have a guest in the 2 o'clock hour, and his name is Edward Wall. He is a National Book Award-winning author. He wrote, a previous book is called Slaves in the Family, brand new book, Peninsula of Lies, a true story of mysterious birth and taboo love. This is a really fascinating story. This is about a boy who was born a girl, no, a girl who was born a boy, originally very poor. There are so many Baroque twists and turns to this story that you will be amazed to hear it. He's going to be at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30. But he is somebody who is an award-winning writer. So I thought it would be interesting to talk to him. Also, I just want to remind you, put it on your calendar if you're free, Monday, April the 19th, 7 o'clock in Lodo. I'm going to be leading a discussion group, One Book, One Denver, and the book that has been chosen by the mayor is called Peace Like a River. Excuse me. So there are... there'll be somebody from the Tattered Cover bookstore as well. There's no charge for it. The public's invited, so I'd love to meet you. And this is 7 o'clock, the Lodo store of the Tattered Cover, and that is Monday, April 19th. So if you can join us, we'd love to have you. We're going to be giving away tomorrow tickets to the Madstone Theater for tomorrow night's premiere of Tony Shalhoub's Made Up, starring Brooke Adams, which sounds great. And we're going to be giving away tickets next Monday for retired General Tommy Franks. He's going to be speaking Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, Betcher Concert Hall. I want to start off by saying I went to Hairspray last night. It's at the Buell Theater. Bruce Valanche is in it. I can't tell you. Joe, you want to bring me down my program from upstairs on Hairspray, the whole kit that I gave you? You've got to go see it. It was, everybody said, oh, it's fabulous. And I thought, you know, I got to get my taxes done. I can't be going to see Hairspray. I saw the movie anyway. It was a John Waters film a long time ago. It is fabulous. It's only going to be here for a couple of weeks. And go and see it if you can do it. It is tremendous. The audience was brought to its feet, and this was press night. So you had a lot of hard-bitten press people there who aren't easily brought to their feet unless there's a keg of something standing over their heads. This was great. It is hilarious. It is funny. It is singing and dancing in a spectacle, and there's an actual story, because I thought, oh, if it's just a lot of singing and dancing, I mean, how long can I sit through that? Wonderful. And the star of it, the girl who plays the Tracy Turnblad role is somebody named Carly Gibson. She's 19 years old. You could not believe what she has to do in this role. The physicality of it, the singing of it. She's got a knockout voice. And Bruce Valanche is in it. He is so funny. He takes on the Harvey Fierstein role. Bruce Valanche is one of the premier comedy writers in you know, Los Angeles and in New York, and I think he's written, in the credits here, they say he's written for the quadruple crown of award shows, the Oscars, the Emmys, the Tonys, and the Grammys. He's not what you would call svelte, and they got him all gussied up. He plays Tracy Turnblad's mother, so it is just hilarious. It is an absolutely delicious production in every way, and if you've got kids, it's hilarious. You can take your kids to this. And I would love to have Bruce Valanche on the show, so maybe we can do that. I don't know. We'll see. He's written a lot of books, too. A fabulous show. Go and see it. I'm usually not as I'm usually much more restrained in my reviews of anything. But this was just a terrific evening. I was so delighted to be there. And a friend of mine had seen it in New York just last week, and I said, oh, yeah, but you know what? We're going to have a touring company here in Denver, and it's not going to be as good. It was great. I bet you it's just as good as what she saw in New York. 303-382-1150. One of the stories that we have been watching with a lot of interest is the Under God clause in the Pledge of Allegiance, and that got argued yesterday in front of the Supreme Court. There are a number of stories going on with that at one time. On the surface, it is about a doctor who happens also to be a non-practicing attorney, so he's a doctor lawyer, if you can believe that. He's an ER doc. He lives in Sacramento. He never married his child's mother, and they have been locked in a custody battle. He says, as a committed atheist, that he is offended every time the phrase under God is used. And so he successfully challenged it. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, bless their hearts, said that under God has to be struck down. Well, that wasn't good enough for the universe, and so now it's being argued in front of the Supreme Court. So here's the way the story went. The story went that Newdow himself, the doctor lawyer, Michael Newdow, the one who was challenging the phrase under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, would argue the case before the Supreme Court. He has never argued a case before any court before, let alone the Supreme Court. He hasn't argued a case anywhere. He's a non-practicing attorney. He's really an ER doc. By all accounts, he gave a bravura performance. He gave a sensational, extraordinary, outstanding, incredible performance in front of all these Supreme Court justices who were trying to nitpick him to death, and apparently he did better than many, many experienced attorneys who have come before the court. And here's the way they describe it in the New York Times. Dr. Newdow, they say, a non-practicing lawyer who makes his living as an ER doc, may not win his case. In fact, justices across the ideological spectrum appear to be searching for reasons that he should lose, either on jurisdictional grounds or on the merits. But no one who managed to get a seat in the courtroom is likely ever to forget his spellbinding performance. Isn't that remarkable? I mean, good for him. I am so with him on this one. We don't need under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. And if you're trying to minimize it and say it has no value, it's under the spiritual or religious radar, then fine, why put it in to begin with? Why piss off atheists? Why piss off people who don't believe in God? Forget about it. If you are spiritual and you believe in God and you are very convinced that God exists, you do it on your own time. Don't let every little kid. And then one of the justices said, well, you know, but your kid could opt out. Well, he said, yeah, that's a big burden to put on a little kid to opt out and make herself the center of ridicule in the classroom. And I am with him on this. He is absolutely right. And here are these justices scampering to find every kind of reason in the world to keep under God in there because they know that politically it would be unpopular to remove it. And there's no justification for it. It means what it says. Under God. And if you're an atheist, it offends you. So get it out. The beauty of this system is that you can practice any religion you want, even as dopey as what the hijackers have practiced, and we let you do it. But under God is divisive, and it is a commingling of church and state. And then the New York Times account of this ends this way. Dr. Newdow, who's 50, often spoke very rapidly, but never appeared to lose his footing during the 30 minutes the court gave him. He managed a trick that far more experienced lawyers rarely accomplished, to bring the argument to a symmetrical and seemingly unhurried ending just as the red light comes on. So I guess they must have a red light where they have a hook, and they, you know, and they pull you off the stage if you exceed your time. He said, there's a principle here. He said to the justices in his closing moments, and I'm hoping that the court will uphold this principle so that we can finally go back and have every American want to stand up, face the flag, place their hand over their heart, and pledge to one nation, indivisible, not divided by religion, with liberty and justice for all. Well, hear, hear, Michael Newdow, I agree with you completely, and I hope that this Supreme Court, which I'm not holding out any hope for them, I hope they have the courage to remove under God, which was only added in about 1954 anyway, remove it from the Pledge of Allegiance. 303-382-1150. What do you think about that issue? 303-382-1150. And this just comes to my attention. Colorado Representative Sean Mitchell has introduced a bill. Now, you're talking about a legislature that is busy concocting legislation so that kids who are at eye level may never see anything sexually explicit. And you tell me what is eye level for a kid. Is it anywhere from 4 inches off the ground to 6'5" if the kid is tall and a teenager? You tell me what is eye level here, where his eyeballs are. And then they want to do a pledge, making, you know, kids do a, they're going to say pure pledge, which it, according to the research, the kids don't actually keep these pledges that they make. Oh, there's a surprise. Anyway, Colorado Representative Sean, oh, and then anti-gay marriage, with which Bruce Valanche had this big old house dress on. He said, oh, I have one of Marilyn Musgrave's dresses on today. He was hilarious. Colorado Representative Sean Mitchell has introduced a bill that would prohibit schools and school employees from discussing any of the natural variations of human sexuality except heterosexuality and except in the context of STD, sexually transmitted diseases. Let me give you that again. HB 1375 would muzzle elementary and secondary teachers from discussing gay families or prominent homosexuals in history and literature. Well, who would that consist of? Oscar Wilde, you know, give us a list. There are a lot of names on that list. House Bill 1375 concerning limitations on education regarding alternative sexual lifestyles would muzzle elementary and secondary teachers from discussing gay families or prominent homosexuals in history and literature. The bill has been assigned to the Education Committee. Like, can you really think you've had an education if you've never talked about Oscar Wilde or any of the gay composers whose names escape me now? But who would they be? Who would gay composers, gay writers, I'll think about this, because right away my, you know, but there are millions of them, okay? And you would be very much poorer if you called yourself an alleged educational system for not being allowed to discuss anybody who was ever gay. You can't discuss any prominent homosexuals in history or literature. Well, we got to make up a list, because somehow my mind has gone blank, but I just know there's zillions of them. So help me out. You guys are out there, and your mind isn't as cluttered or as vacant as mine. 303-382-1150. But you're not allowed to do this under legislation that Sean Mitchell has introduced, a bill that would prohibit schools and school employees. Schools and school employees, I mean the school nurse, from discussing any of the natural variations of human sexuality except heterosexuality, and except in the context of sexually transmitted diseases. Please help me out on this. 303-382-1150. The legislature. Sean Mitchell. What a dope. This is House Bill 1375. Call your representative and tell him that Sean Mitchell's a dope and that this thing shouldn't go anywhere except into the wastebasket. 303-382-1150. Diane calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC. Hi, Diane.
Yeah, hi. You know, I originally started listening And I was going to comment on the topic of the pledge, but the not being able to teach about gay figures in history, I mean, you're talking about Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Gertrude Stein. I mean, there's so many.
Wait a minute. Was Alexander the Great gay?
Yeah, he was. His lover was Hephaestion.
His mother was what?
His lover's name was Hephaestion. He was one of his top generals.
Okay. Alexander the Great. Give me Julius Caesar.
Julius Caesar, Gertrude Stein.
Gertrude Stein, that's right. Alice B. Toklas.
Right. There was so many.
Give me some more names because I can't. I'm drawing a blank right now. Alice B. Who else?
Geez, I'm at a loss too. I mean, it was just so shocking what you were saying. I couldn't believe it.
Can you believe this? This is Sean. This is a. I don't know. This is amazing.
Yeah, it really is. Like I just when you said that, I just couldn't believe it. It would be such a hole in people's education. You know, it's kind of, you know, but Kansas had a law, didn't they, recently about evolution? And
yeah, they were going to teach creationism. You know, you've got an administration here. I'd like to point out rules for being a Republican. You have an administration here where global warming they regard as junk science, and that if you smoke too much, you could get cancer. That, too, they think is junk science. But they're real happy to teach creationism in the schools. So you tell me.
Exactly.
All right, what's your thoughts about Michael Newdow?
Well, the comment that I wanted to say was, you know, he said, they asked him, you know, why hasn't the under God thing come before legislatures and before Congress? And the comment that he made that I thought was really very pointed was that no atheist in the United States can be elected to office.
Not only that, but at the state level, it would be very unpopular, and anybody who voted for it in the state level would not get reelected.
Exactly. I mean, if you lie about it and say that you're, you know, devout of any religion, you can get elected. But if you say that you're an atheist, then you don't have a chance. If you're honest, which I think is just a disgrace.
Well, is that an oxymoron, an honest politician, Diane? I thank you for the call. 303-322-1150. Kendall calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Kendall.
How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Basically, I just think that... You know,
the line, by the way, I just want to jump in here. The lines are full. One line now is open, 303-892-1150. Yes, Kendall, go ahead.
All right. I love listening to your show, but I think that I definitely got to ease back a little bit because sometimes it seems like you push and seems like you push the, in my opinion, the enemy's rhetoric only because, you know, you're all for pushing the whole gay movement and gay should be treated like this and that, and you want to take out the under God and the Pledge of Allegiance, and all this stuff just comes to the point where it's like, you know, my spirit.
Wait a minute. We should not treat gays as human beings? Is that what you're telling me?
No, not as human beings. I ain't saying as human beings. I'm saying we should give them special privileges.
No, not special privileges. We're talking here about legislation that this this peanut brain, this pinhead, has introduced. And here he is. Here's a picture of him. He is Colorado State Representative. I am assuming he is a Republican. Is he a Republican? I'm assuming that he's a Republican because I don't think a Democrat would introduce legislation like this. Yeah, he is a Republican. All right. And he is he's introduced legislation that would prohibit schools and school employees from discussing any natural variations of human sexuality. And you tell me what the natural variation of human sexuality, except heterosexual. All they can talk about is heterosexuality. And isn't there a lot of variation in heterosexuality? And you're not allowed to talk about it except you not only can talk about heterosexuality, and you can only talk about homosexuality in the context of sexually transmitted diseases, and you can't talk about prominent homosexuals in history like Julius Caesar or Alexander the Great.
I don't agree with blocking out any great figure. I mean, because if you're gay or not gay and you do something great for this world, you know, bless you for that. But I don't agree with the whole, you know, I feel like we should talk about what gays do. I mean, there are certain kids that's in that class. Honestly, if I was a kid coming up and I'm a guy that's what goes on with gays, I would be grossed out because I don't see that as natural, you know? And they
Wait. I missed that part of it. What you're saying, it's okay to talk about prominent gays in history because they've contributed and blessed them. But what else what was grossing you out?
Grossed me out far as talking about gays and their sex and things of that nature. I don't think.
Well, what if you've got a kid? What if you got a kid? Some kids in high school here who know that they're gay and they want sexual education just like straight kids do. What's wrong with that?
But that's the minority. Why?
Yeah, well, you know what? It, just because you're a minority, Kendall, is a point that you may well appreciate. Just because you're in a minority doesn't mean that you don't get the full benefit of the law of the United States. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Find out what happened while you were at work.
Who are you?
Tim McLaughlin.
Tim McLaughlin.
With news updates twice an hour during the Doug Kellett Show. Afternoons exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC.
Each day brings new discoveries in the fight against cancer. And for cancer patients, it's important to go where these discoveries are being made. Around here. That's the University of Colorado Cancer Center at the Anschutz Centers for Advanced Medicine. It's the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the Rocky Mountain region, where some of the world's best and brightest minds offer the newest, most innovative options and pioneer new ones. Like being first in the world to explore a new way to actually prevent lung cancer. All reasons why U.S. News & World Report ranks the University of Colorado Cancer Program among the nation's best. It's where you want to be. For an appointment, call 1-800-621-7621 or visit UCH.edu. The University of Colorado Cancer Center at the Anschutz Centers for Advanced Medicine. Far beyond the ordinary.
Hey, Mary, what you doing?
I'm declaring my independence. I'm switching my internet access to ProLink.
I didn't know you played golf. Where do you play?
Golf? Are you kidding? I couldn't tell a golf ball from a disco ball.
Well, didn't you say ProLinks?
Yeah, but ProLinks isn't about golf. It's about DSL, dial-up, and all that, you know, internet access.
I've never heard of ProLinks.
They're an ISP. They offer the same high-quality internet access as the big guys, but without the poor service and annoying advertisements.
Is their connection fast?
Sure. Their DSL taps directly into large networks, just like the big guys, and they're giving me 2 free months of internet access.
Well, that settles it. I'm switching to ProLinks. How do I get connected?
Call them at 303-972-3218 and they'll get you squared away. That number again is 303-972-3218. Mention this ad and get your first 2 months of high-speed internet access for free. That number again is 303-972-3218. You'll be glad you did.
DSL cross-connector installation fees are not included. Not available in all areas.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is a coordinated test of the emergency alert system by broadcast stations and cable systems in your area. If this had been an actual emergency, an official message would have followed the alert tone. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are sharply higher at this hour. The Dow up 139, the NASDAQ to the green by 46. The gains just might end a five-day losing streak for blue chips, which fell to new lows for the year yesterday. And despite continuing concerns over terrorism, a report that the FBI has warned Texas oil refineries of possible attacks around election time hasn't affected the markets. Mortgage rates edged up a bit this week, but still are just a notch above last summer's four-decade lows. Meanwhile, sales of existing homes posted a 2% increase last month. The chief economist at the National Association of Realtors says the strong demand for housing in a recovering economy, it could end up being a record year. Eli Lilly saying federal authorities have launched an investigation into the company's marketing and promotional practices. The drug maker is cooperating with the probe, which involves products such as Prozac. You are up to date from CNBC. I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I'd like to take a moment to thank both of the networks that gave us our start. Our friends at television, who supported us so well, and of course Open, the small business network from American Express, who gave us a line of credit with no collateral required.
All things, girl, keep getting better.
The
Open Network gives you the tools to make big things happen. When you have an American Express business card, to apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN.
Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Another startling fact from Progressive. Only 1 out of 2 million Americans will ever wake up and say, wow, it would be really fun to call around for car insurance quotes today. So just in case you're that one person, call or go online and get our direct price and in most cases the rates of other big name companies. You could save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Because frankly, the only thing people think about less than buying car insurance is how often they should clean their dryer's lint screen. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Enid Goldstein, weekdays at noon.
Things we women have to do for these kids.
I don't always agree, but I always listen.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:30 on the Thursday, and it's really a glorious day. I see that the trees are beginning to blossom. Are those plum trees? They look just beautiful. I see all the white blossoms. Spring is really here. Well, welcome. And we'll soon we'll be changing our clocks. One way, I forget which way. Spring forward, fall back, I guess. The lines are completely full. They will open up, 303-382-1150. We're talking about two things. We're talking about Michael Newdow arguing his case, and it's the very first case I think he's ever argued, ever. And it was before the Supreme Court. It was removing under God from the Pledge of Allegiance. Good for him. Thank God for him. That's all I can say. If you believe in God, this is a wonderful thing. I'm not disparaging that, but it doesn't belong in the Pledge of Allegiance. That's it. Separation between church and state. Just like the Scientologists worked out a deal with the government where the government, where going to Scientology school is tax exempt, but not going to Hebrew school or Catholic school or any other kind of a school. Scientology, give me a break. Those people can be awful. They can be so nasty. That's why not too, the reason they even got the exemption was that years ago they broke into the IRS, they followed people. I mean, they are bad news bears. Stay away from Scientologists is my view of it. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Mark, calling on a cell. Hey, Mark, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, did you read the Da Vinci Code yet?
I did. And I had Dan Brown, the author, in the day that the book went number one on the New York Times bestseller list.
Of course, they make references to Leonardo da Vinci and Sir Isaac Newton being gay also.
I didn't know about Sir Isaac Newton, but Leonardo?
Yep.
That's right. I forgot about Leonardo. Okay, let's add
we
him.
We have to block out all the
we can't talk about
artists who did all those paintings, Michelangelo and everything. We have to block those out.
Was Michelangelo gay?
I don't know.
Well, when we hold the Gator over his head, is he in the red zone? What's the story?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
We don't know. All right.
But that's just some other ones, and just appreciate you being online. Your courage to go online every day and state the obvious. And
isn't it amazing that stating the obvious puts me in a rarefied atmosphere that everybody's so busy running away from the obvious or trying to spin it? Isn't that just an amazing thought?
Yeah, stuff like equal rights and equality, and you're just defending that. And
Justices trying to figure out why they should put in under God, leave under God in the pledge, when clearly it violates the separation between church and state.
Oh, I agree.
All right. I thank you very much, Mark. Kelly calling from Omaha. Hi. You're live with Enid.
Hi. I think Michelangelo was gay.
Does Michelangelo think he was gay?
I don't know.
All right. Well, we can't ask him.
Who cares?
Yeah. And the reason, if you're just tuning in, why, is that apparently Colorado Representative Sean Mitchell has introduced a bill that would prohibit schools and school employees from discussing any of the natural variations of human sexuality except heterosexuality and except in the context of STDs. And it would muzzle elementary and secondary teachers from discussing gay families or prominent homosexuals in history and literature.
But Enid.
Yes.
You've got guts.
I do. Why?
You mocked. I mean, you dare question the utterance of the holy sky god for the neocons. I mean, especially in the Midwest. How could you do it?
Well, wait. Are we in the Midwest in Colorado? We're in the West. We're in the Rockies here.
Yeah.
You and Omaha are more in the Midwest, but we here are in the Rockies.
Oh, okay.
We here are in the Front Range, and we are in the Front Range of ideas.
That's right.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate the call. Here's some big news that I want to share with you as we continue. Colorado, neck and neck between Kerry and Bush, according to the latest polls. I am amazed. I really thought Colorado was going to go big time for President Bush. And I have many thoughts about this. And Mary, your calls to me have not been in vain. Mary, one of our listeners has been urging me to buy the new Vanity Fair magazine because there's a big story in there about Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org. We have had her on many times, but it doesn't matter who is going to be ahead in the polls. It's going to, who's going to steal the election. You know, when nobody's talking about that, we got to talk about that, and we will talk about that in the next hour. But what we're talking about here is Michael Newdow, who turned in a breathtaking performance to the Supreme Court. He's a non-practicing attorney. I don't think he's ever argued a case before any court, let alone the Supreme Court. And he impressed hard-bitten veteran bystanders. They were just riveted hearing him argue the case. He only had 30 minutes to do it. And he doesn't want his little girl to say, under God, in the Pledge of Allegiance. And then you have Sean Mitchell, who is a Republican representative, and has introduced a bill, number 1375, that would prevent teachers from discussing gay families or prominent homosexuals in history and literature, according to the information I have. What a story. 303-382-1150. So you never could hear about Alexander the Great, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, maybe. Is that why Mona Lisa was smiling? I don't know. Gertrude Stein, you wouldn't hear about her. And who are some of the gay artists? There are many gay artists. Help me out. Some will come to mind. 303-382-1150. Preston calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Preston.
James Baldwin comes to mind. And Michael Stipe, the singer of R.E.M., he's
okay.
gay.
Okay.
And I thought...
we couldn't talk about Barney Frank because, you know, he's a gay legislator.
That's right.
Well, Barney Frank, and he's openly gay. Who else?
I think Eleanor Roosevelt.
Maybe. We don't know for sure. It
yeah,
was alleged.
Probably about 20% of the neighborhood I live in. They okay. renamed the King Supers here Queen Supers.
Well, we can't talk about that then in secondary and elementary schools in Colorado.
Something they should probably teach kids about the gay community is that during the Nazi regime, they put the pink triangle on the gays as they headed them towards the concentration camps.
Well, you remember the line, they came for the gays and I wasn't gay, so I didn't do anything. They came for Jews and I wasn't Jewish and I didn't do anything. They came for the gypsies, I wasn't a gypsy and I didn't do anything. And finally, when they came for me, there was nobody to stand up for me.
That's right.
So there it is. You have to stand up for your fellow man and woman.
Yeah.
Thank you, Preston.
Sure thing.
Bye. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Tom in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, at the top of the list should be the legendary homosexual King James the First, who commissioned the King James Bible in 1610.
Was he gay?
You can see it all if you Google search, use the words famous homosexuals.
And who comes up?
Oh, there's a long
Besides,
list.
Besides Nathan Lane and Harvey Weinstein.
I wonder how many Christians realize that their precious King James Bible was written by a group of homosexuals.
Is that really true?
Sure.
King James the First? Really? Seriously?
Type in King James the First, homosexual, and you'll get the whole story.
Okay, thank you very much.
A couple others.
Yeah.
Cecil Rhodes, John Maynard Keynes.
Wait, Cecil Rhodes, who created Rhodesia
and
the Rhodes Scholar?
That's right. They're all there.
And John Maynard Keynes, the
right.
great, the famous economist?
That's right.
They were all gay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Thank you, Tom.
All
this
right.
is good.
Bye.
The list is growing. And Bill calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Enid. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, first time. Wait a minute. We have something for you. Oh, there you go. You got a kiss that will transform your life.
I needed that. Yeah, I enjoy your show. You're great.
Thank you.
You know, you're the only radio talk show host that really makes sense, you know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I had
Isn't that amazing? I mean, all I am is about common sense. It's so rare lately is to be uncommon sense, I guess.
You know, the two issues you're talking about now, they really shouldn't even be issues.
That's right.
Know? Yeah. No, I had a couple more names up.
Okay.
Gay writers, Truman Capote.
Of course, Truman Capote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tennessee Williams.
Absolutely right. Tennessee
right.
Williams. I forgot about that.
If anybody didn't see the Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, I mean, something wrong with them. And my favorite writer of all is Oscar Wilde.
That's right. Oscar Wilde, of course.
Yeah. And I heard the guy mention Alexander the Great. You know, he was a protege of Socrates, not Socrates, but what's the other guy's name? Aristotle. I was just reading it, reading on, you know.
Are you sure? Because the order went Socrates, who starts with P? Plato, yeah. The order is Socrates,
no,
Plato, and Aristotle.
Yeah, Aristotle.
I always remember that because I made a word out of it, spa. So that was the order. And then Alexander the Great is, I don't know where he, I don't know if he's right on the timeline. I don't think so.
No, but I'm saying that to him, Aristotle was his hero. They weren't around the same time.
And they all had wives, but they always had, they had male lovers too, I think most of them.
Yeah, Aristotle, you know, he was one of the wisest men around, but he didn't, I guess he was so wise, he didn't get married till he was 45, so I guess that has a lot to do with his wisdom.
Thank you, Bill. I really appreciate these names. Thanks for calling. Thank you, and I hope you'll call us again. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. Bill 1375 is going to be debated today in chambers at 1:30 p.m., so call your representatives just to let you know. And now, 1240, time to check into the KNRC newsroom with Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 74 degrees. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by BMW and still working the investigation work northbound I-25 at C-470 about an accident involving two semis, injury accident Parker at Hamden, a rollover there, and an injury accident northbound I-25 at 58th. Watch for that particular injury accident. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about our all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5 and the new BMW X3. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
A motion filed today by the woman who has accused Kobe Bryant of raping her last June is asking the judge to speed up the process of the trial. The motion says the incident in question took place nearly 9 months ago, and yet there remain a number of pretrial hearings. The motion also cites the hellish experience the woman has had to endure. This report brought to you by TV Guide. Gary Barnett, the suspended CU football coach, tells the Rocky Mountain News that he didn't intimidate a woman who accused one of his players of raping her in October of 2001. Barnett says that one of the things that upsets him is that the allegations have been repeated many times, but names haven't been given and there's no real evidence put forward. The article by Barnett is a guest opinion piece in today's edition. An autopsy shows that a man who was shot and killed by Broomfield police earlier this week had two gunshots to his head. 29-year-old Sean Worth was killed after police say they saw him breaking into a car and he took off on foot. Police say Worth pulled a gun and fired at them, and that's when he was shot. What's on TV tonight? TV Guide Channel knows. Watch the all-new series What's On and find what's new, what's best, and what's next on TV. Tonight, only on TV Guide Channel. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1242.
With the resources of NBC, CNN, News 4, and AP, along with local reporters on the ground.
I need it. It's there.
Stay in touch with what's happening in Denver and the Front Range with Dick Kelsey Mornings and Tim McLaughlin Afternoons, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Warm up with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter, told in the Key of Blues. The new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. According to the Denver Post, these two actresses are as good as anyone doing anything on Broadway. Cookery is a bio musical that has a life story worth retelling. Great seats are still available. Cooking at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Caffey. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, said Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Now playing. Great seats are still available. March Madness ticket prices reduced. All tickets now just $32.50 and on sale at Tickets West Outlets King Supers by calling 866-464-2626 or call the theater at 303-309-3773.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We will be seeing a cool down in these abnormally warm temperatures by the start of the weekend. In fact, Friday brings a slight chance of an afternoon thunderstorm, and temperatures will then fall back into the 50s. But until that point, we've got sunshine today with a high around 75, an overnight low tonight near 45, and we'll be closer to 80 tomorrow. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 74 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1244. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
He's looking out for you.
Listen.
Bill O'Reilly, weekdays at 10 a.m., exclusively with the Radio Factor on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:45 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live, and we're so perky today because we saw Hairspray last night, which was really great, and also because the weekend is starting tomorrow. And we're going to be giving away free tickets to the Madstone Theater to a film that opens tomorrow night. And Saturday night, we've got a wine tasting going over at the Madstone Theater that we're helping to sponsor. And it's at Tamarack Square, and it's really lots of fun at the Madstone. So, and I might even go see that film. I heard it was really good. One of you called in to say it was a good film. So we'll see. It's a Tony Shalhoub film. We'll be giving away tickets tomorrow, not today, tomorrow. And we're going to give away tickets on Monday to retired General Tommy Franks. And he's talking at Betcher on Tuesday night, and we're helping to sponsor that, KNRC. If anybody asks you, what are you listening to? You are listening to, do you know what station you're listening to? KNRC. Do you know what the dial position is, the frequency, what we call in the business of frequency? AM 1150. And answer that question, even if you're not listening to KNRC. Always say that you are, in case there is a pop quiz, because who knows, you could get a prize descending from the heavens, it could be a ticket to something, you don't ever know. And tell your friends about us, please. Noon to 3, Enid, all of us, we're here, we're a new station, we're locally owned, we're live, we're not canned, and what we're talking about are the good issues and the serious issues that you're not hearing discussion about in most other places, anywhere else, actually. And what we're talking about is anti-gay student legislation. It's being introduced, it's being debated today at 1:30 in chambers, and this is brought to you by an alleged representative, a Republican, of course, named Sean Mitchell, a pinhead if ever there was one, because listen to what he wants to foist on us. He, Colorado Representative Sean Mitchell, has introduced a bill that would prohibit schools and school employees from discussing any of the natural variations of human sexuality except heterosexuality. You can only talk about heterosexuality. And you can only talk about it in the context of sexually transmitted diseases, apparently. I'm not quite sure how that, what this exactly means, that sentence means, but HB 1375, call your representatives. I don't think this is going to go anywhere, but, you know, be vigilant anyway, because 1375 would muzzle elementary and secondary teachers from discussing gay families or prominent homosexuals in history and literature. So many of you are helping me to compile a list of prominent homosexuals that we can no longer discuss. And you're calling this an education? Here's some of the list. Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Gertrude Stein, Alice B. Toklas, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, we think, James Baldwin, the writer, Barney Frank, the legislator, Congressman Eleanor Roosevelt, King James the First, who helped to underwrite the Bible, the King James Version, Truman Capote, Tennessee Williams, Oscar Wilde, Elton John. And that's just a partial list. You want to add more names to the list of people that cannot be taught or mentioned in elementary or secondary public schools in Colorado. Boy, that really makes a state where employers are just going to be standing in line to move to this state because they're going to have such well-educated students graduating from Colorado schools if this is allowed to take hold. 303-382-1150. Why are these people so obsessed with homosexuality? Are they afraid that they're gay? Are they just pandering to their base? if you're talking about education, don't we have more pressing education concerns, like the fact that there's no money to run very much in the way of educational programs in this state, and hard choices are having to be made? I mean, this Sean Mitchell should be recalled on grounds of complete stupidity and lack of any palpable IQ. 303-382-1150. No wonder people call in and are so moronic in trying to defend President George W., in trying to defend Dickey. And now I know why. He's king of the morons. That's it. They have found one of them, and they don't want him to leave the White House. That's all I can think of. Dave, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I just had a question. As far as the separation of church and state, I was in an office building that's owned by the city,
mm-hmm.
and I went to this individual's cubicle that worked there, and in her cubicle she had religious pictures that adorned the walls of the cubicle. Had faced completely out. She had a radio playing music that was playing gospel music. She had all these pictures on the on her walls and everything. And then I was done doing my transaction with this individual. She also told me, like, have a God blessed day.
Was she trying? Was she trying to convert you too?
No, she wasn't. I didn't know if that.
So were you offended by all this stuff, all of her religious paraphernalia in the workplace? And it was an office, a city or state office building, or governmental building.
Well, kind of, because almost because it was so in your face. It was almost like she was pressing it upon you.
Well, you know what? I would be offended, too. I have to tell you this. I think the people who parade it the most are the ones who are trying to convince themselves the most that they're actually religious and that they have the most hideous of hearts. I think the ones who are really, really spiritual realize how deeply private and intimate that information is, and they don't need to broadcast it out to the universe.
Exactly. I didn't know if that was... If they could do that, being at a, you know, state-run facility.
What was it? You want to tell us what facility it was?
Yeah, it was the DMV.
The DMV?
Yeah.
Well, if Jesus was in charge of the DMV, would we have better traffic? Is that that would be the question?
I'm telling you, he'd probably lower our taxes and stuff.
Yeah, what would Jesus drive? Actually, there are a group of clergymen who have gone to General Motors and the big automakers, the big three automakers, to pose that question because they think SUVs are so horrible for the environment. Thank you very much, Dave. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Don in Denver, how are you live with Enid?
Yeah, Don Thompson, you know, we have to add J. Edgar Hoover.
That's right, Mr. Masculine. That's right, J. Edgar Hoover.
And then I'm wondering about Jesus Christ himself.
Why? Because he wasn't married?
Maybe he was bi.
Well, we don't. You know, I'm going to tell you a story about a talk host who said something along the lines of, statistically, 1 in 10 or 12 in America are gay, and then he said, and what does that say about the Jesus and the disciples? And don't ask. I mean, they've just about hounded him off the air, so.
Yeah, maybe not. But anyway, you remember the book Da Vinci Code?
Yes.
And it's taken from Holy Blood, Holy Grail?
Well, I have the author on, and I've read the book, and it's really kind of fun to read. I won't call it great literature, but it's really fun to read.
The Holy Blood, Holy Grail?
The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, yeah, it's great, but it was... You know, the script came from Holy Blood, Holy Grail in 82.
Okay.
But there's a lost gospel of Mark.
Well, we're getting a little bit far afield here, but you're thinking that what about this lost gospel of Mark? This proves that Jesus was gay? Is that what you're going to try and tell me?
Well, he said after 6 days, Jesus told him what to do, and the evening youth came to him wearing a linen cloth over his naked body. And he remained with him that night, for Jesus taught him the mystery of the kingdom of God.
Oh, we're gonna get. Oh, Don, we're gonna get calls now. I thank you for this one. 303-38. We're not trying to be blasphemous here. 303-32-1150. Jim in Denver. Hi, live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing?
Doing well.
I just wanted to, maybe you could help me out with this. See, all this anti-homosexual laws they're passing.
Yeah.
See, I don't know how this would affect me because I think I'm a lesbian trapped in a man's body.
You are?
Well,
let's see. Who can we fix you up with? Actually, don't laugh. I actually met a man who was undergoing a sex change in order to become a lesbian. This was a long time ago in San Francisco.
Well, but you know, the whole thing is it's really not anti-homosexual. It's anti-gay men because, you know what, real men love lesbians. So.
Thank you, Jim. 303-382-1150. Who could support what Sean Mitchell is doing? If anybody wants to support the teaching of no one ever in history who was gay and prominent, could you? I would like to hear what your arguments are to support it. Let's head over to Kevin on SL. Hi, Kevin. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I've been listening to a while, but this for you for a while, but this is the first time I actually got to talk to you. So
Wait a minute, we have something for you. There you go.
Ooh, thank you, Enid.
You're very welcome.
I just wanted to add a name to the list. Gore Vidal.
Oh yes, of course, one of my favorite writers, Gore Vidal.
And you know, I have to say, recently with all the news about gay marriage and a lot of the gay legislation, there was the town, and I think it was Tennessee or Kentucky that tried to outlaw homosexuality again and all that.
Why don't they just try outlawing sex in general and see how successful they become?
Exactly. And I was getting upset about it for a while, and now I just kind of have to look at it with a little bit of a sense of humor and just wonder what they're going to do next to go even further out. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, we're poised on the edges of our chairs waiting to see with you, Kevin. I thank you for the call. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
The name and business is CNBC, and we've got it for you. Listen for hourly updates weekdays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
KeyBank. Want more for your money? Key offers free checking with interest. Open your account at a Key Center today or call 1-888-KEY-1234 for more information. The solution is Key. This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning series asks, should schools teach students about homosexuality? The Colorado legislature is considering a bill requiring parents to give written consent before their kids take sex ed. Some legislators want to eliminate all discussion of homosexuality in schools, while others say parents should know exactly what their kids are learning. Does the discussion of homosexuality have a place in the classroom? Does ignoring the issue demonize homosexual relationships and send gay teenagers into isolation and possible depression? What do you think? Debate this issue and more on Colorado State of Mind, Friday night at 8:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org. Don't miss Colorado State of Mind, Friday nights at 8:30 only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
You breathe in and out some 20,000 times a day. It's a process you never think about. But for more than 30 million Americans, each and every breath is a struggle. You can help Coloradans breathe easier by supporting the American Lung Association of Colorado at Celebrating Americana Music, featuring Dakota Blonde. The benefit concert is Friday, March 26th at 7:30 at the Rialto Theater in Loveland. Tickets are only $15 and proceeds benefit lung health programs in Northern Colorado. For tickets, call 970-962-2120.
More opinions than you can keep track of. Stay with AM 1150 KNRC as newsmakers comment on the news. A daily feature at 7:07 a.m. and 5:07 p.m. with Senators John Andrews and Mark Hillman, Representative Andrew Romanoff, and former Colorado Governor Dick Lamb. Another exclusive feature here from AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk. Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:57 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Let's go right to the phones. We don't have much time left. Wanda in Golden. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid?
Yes, hi, welcome.
Oh, okay, you didn't say the name, so I wasn't sure whether you were talking to me or not. Enid, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, wait, we have something for you.
I love it. We need to spread the love, right?
Yeah.
Enid, I just wanted to ask you a pointed question, and, you know, there's no ill intent behind it. And I'm wondering, what does homosexuality have to do with genius, or what we perceive as being, you know, genius? You've got a list of people.
It's probably, it may very well be irrelevant to genius, but if someone's been a genius, why wouldn't you teach them if they happen to be gay?
Well, the thing is I believe that homosexuality is sexual dysfunction, and I am a Christian, and I believe that, I'd say 99% of Americans believe the way I do as Christians, I would treat a homosexual living on either side of me as I would any other neighbor. I would love them. I would try to be a good neighbor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But
that does not mean that I would approve.
But wait a minute. We have some of the finest. We don't have much time left in this hour. That's why I'm jumping in here. We have people like Julius Caesar. We have Leonardo da Vinci. Would you not teach them in school because they happen to have been homosexual? Is that what you're saying?
No. I guess I didn't listen to your entire show, so I missed that point.
You can't miss any of the show, Wanda. If you miss a little,
you miss a lot.
That's it. But I hope you'll call us back again, and I thank you. Thank you for the call.
I will.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
303-382-1150. Oh, I think Wanda was maybe verging toward... we'll see. More as we continue two more hours of Enid right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. There were unconfirmed reports he was trapped by Pakistani troops, but now an Arab TV network is airing an audio tape purportedly made by Al-Qaeda's number two man. On it, a voice that may be Ayman al-Zawahiri calls on Pakistanis to overthrow their government. Gas prices may be hitting the brakes at last. The national average for a gallon of unleaded is $1.76, but White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card says this may be the peak.
Consumers should pay attention to conservation. We look to get more supply into the country, and we'll do everything we can to do that. But there are no short-term solutions, but we'll do everything we can to work with our allies around the world to make sure there's more supply in the marketplace.
Card tells MSNBC this is a classic case of low supply and high demand. Experts have been looking into this, say the suicide rate for U.S. soldiers in Iraq is higher than those of serving in other areas. There have been at least 24 military suicides in Iraq and in neighboring Kuwait. I'm Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Want huge savings? Don't miss the JCPenney huge sale. This Friday and Saturday, everything is on sale. No exceptions, no exclusions. Plus, save even more when you shop early Saturday from 8 to 1 for fantastic doorbusters and an extra 10% off sale and clearance prices store-wide. So hurry in. This Friday and Saturday, everything is on sale. No exceptions, no exclusions. The JCPenney huge sale. JCPenney. Exclusions apply for extra savings. See store for details. Sale ends March 27th.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 74 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Time for us to check traffic with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Heritage for the Blind, and still working an injury accident northbound I-25 at 58th. Injury accident, the rollover, Parker and Hamden. And we still got the accident investigation work northbound I-25 up at E-470. Don't sell it. Don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxdeduction.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, the woman accusing Kobe Bryant of rape is tired of this case moving at a snail's pace. Bruce Morton reports from Eagle.
The plaintiff, through her attorney, today filed a motion asking for, quote, swift resolution and the setting of a trial date. This motion comes nearly 9 months after the night of the alleged incident, and no trial date is in sight. The document includes a letter from the woman's father telling a story of death threats, her living in four states in the past 6 months, and that prospective employers don't want to hire her because of the media attention she brings. Bruce Morton, Eagle, Colorado.
Bryant's accuser was on the witness stand for nearly 4 hours yesterday. Colorado Coalition Against Sexual Assault spokesperson Cynthia Stone says while it's not uncommon for alleged rape victims to have to testify in pretrial hearings, the alleged victim in this case faced an exceptionally difficult cross-examination.
It's the extraordinary circumstances in this one. They usually don't have the eyes of the nation on them. And again, they don't have the type of defense team that has put into public opinion, put out into the public the type of rumor and speculation about this woman.
This portion of the pretrial hearing continues through today in Eagle. This report brought to you by AutoZone. An autopsy on the man who was shot and killed by Broomfield police on Tuesday shows that the man had two gunshots to his head. 29-year-old Sean Worth was killed after police say they saw him trying to break into a car. Worth took off on foot with the police, including a canine unit in pursuit. Police say Worth pulled a gun on them, and that's when they shot him. The Colorado State Fair has lost money for the second straight year, but supporters say that while the fair may lose money, there's a residual benefit from people visiting the state and spending money while they're here. The losses are being blamed on lower box office sales. An arrest has been made in the fire which burned a 1920s-era building in Strasbourg on Tuesday morning. Preston Dane Williams is being held without bond in the case and is also wanted for sexual assault in California. Adams County deputies say Williams made statements admitting that he was responsible for the fire which burned three businesses out of that building. In sports, the Detroit Red Wings come to town tonight to take on the Colorado Avalanche on Valentine's Day when they last met. The Avs knocked off the Wings 5-2. Colorado Rockies have a spring training game against the San Francisco Giants this afternoon with the game just getting underway. Rocks lost a close one to the Arizona Diamondbacks yesterday. This weekend only at AutoZone, get a free 7.5-quart oil drain pan with any 5-quart conventional motor oil purchase. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Hurry in, get in the zone, AutoZone. Your exclusive Weather Channel for forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Do not change the channel.
Not your grandfather's talk radio station. We're yours.
We're yours.
The new generation of Denver talk radio can be found here. AM 1150.
AM 1150.
Lock it in.
This is a consumer alert. To reduce excess inventories of manufacturer supplies, MedVet is hosting a massive markdown sale for Chrysler, Jeep, and Dodge products. During this event, sacrifice pricing exists on more than $80 million worth of inventory. Profit is not a major consideration. MedVet is stocked fence to fence with a wide variety of Dodge Ram trucks, Jeep Grand Cherokees, Jeep Liberties, Chrysler minivans, and the all-new Chrysler 300. More arrive daily. 0% financing is available for qualified buyers, and financial officers will be on hand for immediate credit approval. National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value. Hurry, if you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity. Selection is huge, but is expected to diminish rapidly. The MedVet Massive Markdown Sale at the giant MedVet Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheatridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Loving this short sleeve weather, and it'll get even warmer before it cools down on Saturday. So make the most of it with mostly sunny skies through the rest of the afternoon. We'll top out around 75 for the high. Our overnight low tonight near 45. Tomorrow with sunshine, we're closer to 80. And then on Saturday, a slight chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon, cooler in the 50s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny, 74 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock later in the broadcast. We're going to be joined by Edward Ball. He is the author of a National Book Award-winning book, his previous book called Slaves in the Family. And it's called Peninsula of Lies, a true story of mysterious birth and taboo love. And he's going to be at Tatter Cover tonight at 7:30. So we'll be talking to him. And again, put it down on your calendar if you have a chance. I'll be at Tatter Cover Lodo the 19th of April on a Monday night, 7 o'clock, helping to lead a discussion on the One Book, One Denver book, Peace Like a River. So I hope you can come. There's no charge for it. Edward Ball will be at Tatter Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30, but he'll be here in the 2 o'clock hour. It's a very convoluted story. If you're just tuning in, here's what we've been talking about. Michael Newdow turning in an incredible performance in front of the Supreme Court yesterday. By all accounts, people were riveted in their seats. He's never defended. He's never defend. You know, conducted been part of a trial. before, never conducted a trial, and here he is in front of his first trial in front of the Supreme Court, and he does beautifully. Although I probably, the justices are going to find every way in the world they can to keep under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. And we have Representative Sean Mitchell, who has introduced a bill that would prohibit schools and school employees from discussing any of the natural variations of human sexuality except heterosexuality. They can only talk about heterosexuality. They can talk about STDs, but I don't know if they can talk about homosexuality within that context. It's not clear from this information that I have. But also, his bill would muzzle elementary and secondary teachers from discussing gay families or prominent homosexuals in history and literature. And one of you just sent me this whole list. Famous gays and lesbians in history. Sappho, Socrates, Plato, Alexander the Great. Some we've already talked about. Montezuma II. Oh, I didn't know about him. Sir Francis Bacon. Ooh. Peter the Great. Well, that's probably how he got his name. Oh, Peter the Great? Oh, please. not going there. Lord Byron. Hans Christian Andersen. Oh, Hans Christian Andersen? Oh, that's how fairy tales, of course. Margaret Fuller, the writer and journalist. Henry David Thoreau. Walt Whitman was gay. That's true. Herman Melville I didn't know about, and I didn't know about Chief Crazy Horse. I hope this list is actually true. Tchaikovsky, Proust, they're saying Vita Sackville-West, yes, we knew she was gay. Nijinsky, although I met his daughter, so maybe he was only intermittently gay. They're saying Colette was gay, although I think she was married. Wasn't she somewhere along the line? Somerset Maugham, gay. Cole Porter, of course, was gay. This list, Jean Cocteau. Bayard Rustin, the African-American civil rights labor rights and peace activist leader. Was he gay? I didn't know that. And James Baldwin is on this list. And who else? Truman Capote and Marguerite Yersinar and Federico Garcia Lorca and Christopher Isherwood and W.H. Auden, which I didn't know he was gay, and Harvey Milk, the politician, and Billie Jean King and Martina Navratilova and Andy Warhol. Frida Kahlo, was she gay? But she was married. So maybe she was gay sometimes. I don't know. Melissa Etheridge, Katie Lang, Ellen DeGeneres, and so forth. He said, this is just a partial list. So if you can defend why you would not want to teach, you would prevent secondary teachers and elementary teachers from teaching about any prominent people in history who were gay, I'd like to hear the case you want to make for that. 303-382-1150. Chad, calling from Arvada. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi, Chad.
Here's some more for the list. Leonard Bernstein. George Gershwin.
Gershwin? Was Gershwin gay?
Yes.
Bernstein was married, but we know that he had a lot of gay boyfriends.
That's right.
He had a lot of boyfriends, so I guess he was
gay. A closet gay, no doubt.
Yes.
Lawrence Hart, Rogers and Hart.
He was gay, Lawrence Hart?
Oh, he drank himself to death over the issue.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Cole Porter, you mentioned.
Yeah, Cole Porter.
Here's
was
one for
and
the
he was, And he was married. His wife was Linda. Rock Hudson. What about Rock Hudson?
Oh, yes. Very contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one for the Bible lickers. George Handel, Hallelujah Chorus.
Yes.
And here's one for the politicians. Maybe Mitchell can look this up. President Buchanan.
President Buchanan was gay?
Yes.
How do we know?
Married. And,
but how do we know he was gay?
Well, his diaries and the letters he wrote, especially to his male secretary.
Oh, really? Oh, well, I didn't know that. And he was never married? Who was his hostess then in the White House?
I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
Here's a couple other names. Virginia Woolf.
Yes.
Bessie Smith, of course, one of the earliest black jazz singers. Janis Joplin.
Was Janis Joplin gay?
Oh.
Oh.
Rabidly so.
Rabidly gay?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, won't you bring me a Mercedes Benz?
There you go. And for the don't ask, don't tell crowd.
Mm-hmm. How do we know that Janis Joplin was gay? Did you hold a gaydar over her head and see what happened?
Well, her lifestyle.
Well, no, you can't go by that. I mean,
meaning
what, though?
When you're self-destructive to the point she was.
Well, there are a lot of people who are junkies who are practicing heterosexuals who are very self-destructive.
There's usually a cause for self-destruction.
Well, I know, but I haven't heard
this. And sometimes sexual orientation is it. In these names I've given you, the biographies of these people are pretty well settled on that.
Oh, okay.
But I
hadn't heard that about Janis.
And for the don't ask, don't tell, you already had Alexander the Great, who had his lover with him. His name was Hephaestion. And when he died of, I think, cholera, it threw Alexander into a terrible funk. And then he started drinking and got some other disease and died within less than a year. And let's see. Oh, I was going to say, Frederick von Steuben, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Mm-hmm. This comes from the Randy Schultz book, Serving in Dishonor.
Uh-huh. I knew Randy Schultz in San Francisco. He died of AIDS. And he was a journalist for the San Francisco Chronicle.
He started the history of the very beginning of the Revolutionary Army in this country and how the ragtag colonists, farmers with their muskets, totally undisciplined. Washington couldn't bring them together to win a battle. They brought in this flaming faggot from Prussia who was well known as a rigid disciplinarian, and his name was Frederick von Steuben. He disciplined and trained the winning troops of the Revolutionary Army while Washington sat on his steed, you know, and looked important. So,
well, Chad, I thank you for this list of prominent gays in history that will not be taught if Sean Mitchell has
his
way.
I don't know what Mitchell's going to talk about
in Colorado schools, and boy, won't getting a diploma from a Colorado school carry a lot of weight.
The library shelves sag
well,
with the information.
I'm going to tell you
on all of these subjects.
I'm going to tell you something. There aren't many library shelves around here to sag. I think the library system in Denver is a pity. And don't get me started on that. But I thank you for the call, and especially at the Cherry Creek Ranch. If you go upstairs, the shelves are like three shelves high. They're real short shelves with not too many books on them and a lot of space in between those little shelves. And when I brought it up to the librarian, Rick Ashton, he said, you can't have too many books up there because the floor won't, the structure won't accommodate it. And I thought, well, then maybe you could think about having a library in a place where they could actually accommodate books. Well, now there's a concept. 303-382-1150. I get a lot of books out of the Denver Library. Oh, speaking of, and then Richard Simmons cited for slapping a man, but I guess that's another story. Okay, Kobe Bryant's accuser has been testifying in private. They want to know all about her sex life, but how come we don't hear about Kobe's sex life? Do we think that that's relevant? I think maybe that would be relevant, too. And the tabs are filled with Kobe's accusers, pictures of her. They name her. They do everything, that she's supposed to be in rehab, that she was supposed to have had sex with the bellhop right before she had sex with Kobe. I mean, a million different stories, and the rehab story and the party girl and blah, 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 blah. You know what? By the time they're done with her, she's going to be toast, and I think Kobe will walk away from this one. That would be my guess. If you were asking me to make a guess about it, you might want to comment about that. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Many of you are calling in about what Bush did last night at the Correspondents' Dinner. Good Morning America showed clips from Bush's speech at the Correspondents' Dinner last night, where Bush introduced pictures of himself and confused-looking postures, making comments that we still haven't found those weapons of mass destruction. Going to the G8 meeting, I need a deck of cards to know who the heads of state are. And then again on another picture, well, still haven't found those weapons of mass destruction. I guess he was trying to be funny, but I'm going to tell you something. If your kid has been in Iraq and been fighting and lost his life or her life, I don't think you would find this very amusing. What do you think? I think it was not in, you know, me. I'm the last person to be talking about good taste, as you may have noticed, but I don't think that was a really smart thing for him to do. And then I got a T-shirt from one of you. Let me see. Who has this come from? This is there are a bunch of T-shirts, and this is from the Jim Morris environmental T-shirts, and he's in Boulder, and he sent me a bunch of T-shirts, and it said Redefeat Bush in 2000 is one of them. But I like this one that he sent. It's all black, and it's got a picture of Dickie on it, and it says loser. And then under it, it says lost election, lost surplus, lost jobs, lost moral high ground, lost allies, lost compassion, lost trust, lost clean air, lost environment, lost wildlife, lost clean water, lost civil liberties, lost lives. Ooh, that is a really good T-shirt. And I guess if you're interested, thank you, Jim. Jim Morris Company in there in Boulder. Thank you for that T-shirt. And he sent another one along, and let me just see what this one says. I like that one, though, that says loser because you lost. Redefeat Bush in 2004. These are great T-shirts. But why'd you send an extra large? I'm svelte, Jim Morris. I'm just tiny. Large is big enough because I shrink them. If they can't survive in a hot washer and hot dryer in my house, then they can't be at Shea Goldstein. Shea Enid, 303-382-1150. What do you think about Bush's comments? And also, what do you think about the fact that the administration coming back really hard at Richard Clark? They're saying he wasn't in the loop. Well, you got to ask yourself, if the main counterterrorism guy isn't in the loop, don't you think he should be in the loop? Where is the loop exactly? Your main counterterrorism guy isn't in the loop? Why would that be that he's not in the loop? What does that say about the administration? 303-382-1150. And they so tried to get Condoleezza Rice to testify before the 9/11 commission that they promised her that she would not have to testify under oath, and she still wouldn't do it. Still would not do it. The administration would have set a bad precedent. She wanted to do it. She really wanted to do it. But it would set a bad precedent. Well, she's on all the cable shows. She's on TV all over the place trying to spin the administration line here. But she wouldn't come before the 9/11 commission. And in the most stunning information of all, I couldn't believe this when I saw it in the paper today. This is in today's Rocky. Headline, Bush Kerry tied in Colorado polls find. President Bush and Senator John Kerry are locked in a statistical tie in Colorado. Colorado then becomes a swing state. I thought Colorado, from what all have you have said, that we were going to go Republican. But it doesn't matter what we go, even if we go Democratic, because all the black box voting that's going to go on, the e-voting that's going to go on. Mary, you have called me twice to get the Vanity Fair magazine for April, and I have it here, although I haven't read the complete story yet. But the real story is that we've had Bev Harris on from blackboxvoting.org. And let me make this, paint this scenario for you. Supposing it's close, but the tilt goes to Kerry. How would you know if you can hack into the software on this electronic voting and no trace of it is ever left? So people can hack into the system, change the vote count, and you will never know that. We have to have a paper trail here. Otherwise, forget it about the next election, because this group will do everything that they can. They're so nasty. If they would out Valerie Plame, they will try to alter, they'll try to rig the voting. Because I don't know if they can win any other way, because what's coming down now, I think they're coming unraveled and unglued. 303-382-1150. Dave, calling from Arvada. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, Dave.
Good to hear a fresh voice on the air.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm pretty fresh, all right.
Yeah, sounds good. But it's, you know, you're talking about, like, this bill from Mitchell. It all just kind of feeds into to everything they do, the politicians and the churches, to keep everyone ignorant.
Okay, so you're saying that this is just a matter of posturing? Is that the story here?
Well, part of it is, of course, they're trying to divert attention to all the real affairs that are going on, like
the governor's, like maybe the governor's affair?
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. He spoke at the Colorado Broadcasters Association dinner on Saturday night. I should have gone up to him. Of course, I didn't have the nerve and ask him about all these rumors about his love life. 303-382-1150. Well, he's a separated man now, but I am wrong. Well, you know, a lot of rumors. Let's go to the phones. Kevin, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. I like that shirt you were describing. I got one for myself this weekend at the rally downtown.
Oh, okay.
They had those out there. You know, on this black box voting issue?
Yes.
Well, I think that we need to insist and lobby for the paper verification, the receipts. But sure,
yes,
yeah,
but will it happen in time? I think people not only have to get out there and get voters registered and get this crew out, but I think you've got to be sure that the voting is honest. And
right.
I don't know if there's a big movement around that, but this Vanity Fair story is really pretty...
Are you aware what magnets do to electronics?
No.
Hypothetically speaking, what if people went into their voting booths with magnets?
What happened? What does a magnet do to the electronics?
Well, if you put a magnet up against your computer, I don't recommend you experiment with this, but you can read
Don't try this at home. What happens?
Yes.
Is it erasing?
And I'm certainly not advocating that anybody try to screw up the polling machines with a magnet. I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking, what if?
What happens when you do it on your own computer?
Well, it tends to wreak havoc on things. You tend to lose. It's unpredictable.
You don't know.
It's something you don't do.
They tell you not to do that.
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've ever heard that before. But then you're talking to a technological illiterate.
I don't recommend you experiment with it.
All right, don't do this at home. If you're listening and you're a kid, do not listen to what Kevin has just said. All right, Kevin.
And if you're an adult going into the voting booth where there's an electronic voting system in place, I don't recommend that you try to screw it up with magnets.
Well, what'll happen is they'll screw it up for everybody, and they'll know there's something wrong with the system.
Right.
Okay, I think
that'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it?
thanks for that, Kevin. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Looking for an alternative to Rush middays? Hear Enid Goldstein, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Chrysalis-A sounds romantic. It's the latest in lens treatments. Your plastic lenses will not scratch and are glare-proof. Hi, I'm Bea Verullo, owner of International Optique. For night driving, computers, movie theaters, and more, ask for Chrysalis-A. The difference is bright lights and blur or clarity. You choose. When trusting International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard, you will always find the latest in lens technology and one of the largest selections of eyewear in Denver. We are so excited to be celebrating our 9th anniversary. Call to set your annual eye exam with Dr. Sogel Kelly and select that perfect new frame and lenses. Reach for any of our star frames and pay $44 when you purchase prescription lenses. And don't forget to ask for Chrysalis-A. Seeing is a wonderful gift. It's time to see International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard to help select a fabulous frame and new lenses. See you soon.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. The Colorado Symphony Chorus joins the Colorado Symphony for a performance of Four's Requiem, Handel's Coronation Anthem No. 1, and more on March 26th, 27th, and 28th. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
Let's go forward, shall we? And your teenager is now in their 20s, so stoned they can't move, which is how they spent college and why they didn't finish and get the job they deserved or the friends. Wish you could do it over again? You can. If you know your child is smoking pot and drinking, do something. Visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800 because life doesn't rewind. Action. The Anti-Drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
KNRC invites you to exclusive premieres and fantastic performances at the Vail Film Festival, April 1st through the 4th. Join us for a weekend full of informative workshops, celebrity panel discussions, and event parties along with great skiing in the beautiful Vail Valley. The Vail Film Festival is sure to sell out. Reserve your seats by visiting vailfilmfestival.org. Screening passes start at just $50. The Vail Film Festival is sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Jennifer Slaw, CNBC Business Radio. Finally, an up day on Wall Street. The Dow railing big, up 165 points to 10,214. NASDAQ also seeing very strong gains, up 53 points to 1962. A lot of economic news helping out the markets today. The Labor Department says jobless claims edged up just slightly last week. The four-week moving average of claims, however, is at more than a three-year low. Meantime, the Conference Board reporting more help wanted ads. And existing home sales climbed in February despite the fact that 15- and 30-year mortgage rates rose slightly last week. On a more sour note, AAA says regular unleaded gasoline hit a record for the third straight day. AAA says it stands at $1.74 a gallon. Capital One canceling a contract with a telemarketing firm in India. Workers in New Delhi reportedly offered customers deals they had no authority to make. Again, Dow up 167 points. Jennifer Slaw, CNBC.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I'd like to take a moment to thank both of the networks that gave us our start. Our friends in television, who supported us so well. And, of course, Open, the small business network from American Express, who gave us a line of credit with no collateral required. The Open Network gives you the tools to make big things happen. When you have an American Express business card, to apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN. Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Another startling fact from Progressive. Only 1 out of 2 million Americans will ever wake up and say, wow, it would be really fun to call around for car insurance quotes today. So just in case you're that one person, call or go online and get our direct price and in most cases the rates of other big name companies. You could save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Because frankly, the only thing people think about less than buying car insurance is how often they should clean their dryer's lint screen. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Beep, 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 yeah.
You
You told us you needed more traffic reports during the morning and afternoon commute, and we listened. AM 1150 KNRC now provides you traffic reports at least five times each hour during mornings and afternoons. After all, we are the third worst traffic city in America. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
129 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by award-winning author. He won a National Book Award, which is a very fancy award, Edward Ball. He has written Peninsula of Lies. He has written for the Village Voice and a lot of other publications. And the book is called, as I said, Peninsula of Lies. He's going to be at Tatter Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30. We're talking about politics. We're talking about the White House spinning ferociously when it comes to Richard Clark. Richard Clark is holding up. I think he might survive it because he's got such a good reputation and he's such a strong, considered such a strong player. But for Condoleezza Rice to say that he was out of the loop, you've got to ask yourself, if counterterrorism was a priority, why would the chief counterterrorist guy be out of the loop? I mean, what's that all about? Explain that to me. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And we're also talking about the fact that Colorado, it is neck and neck between Kerry and Bush right now. And I am so amazed to find that out. Are you amazed at that? President Bush and Senator John Kerry are locked in the statistical tie in Colorado, according to a poll. The poll was financed by the Republicans, by Bob Schaefer. It surveyed 500 likely Colorado voters. It found that 46% supported Bush and 42% backed Kerry, a difference that it falls within the poll's 4.5 percentage point margin. Ralph Nader got 4%. Howard Dean is officially on board against Kerry, for Kerry, rather. Let me ask you this question. Even if it's close and Kerry would win the popular vote, how can we tell if the voting would be on the up and up? How will we know that? Because with electronic voting, you can go in and hack the system and never leave any footprints. And nobody is talking about that. And this crew, this is a crew that would stop at nothing to an undercover CIA agent. They would do anything they could. If they can put it to Dick Clark and get away with it and not have their fingerprints on anything, they'll do it. They'll do whatever it takes to continue to stay in office for four more years and to loot the country completely. And I just got an email from one of you who thought it was funny when I called W. Dickey, King of the Morons, and because there's so many moronic callers calling to defend them that they found one of their own. So here is a statistical dead heat, and here's the Medicare pro, the guy who was told, a top Medicare official told Congress yesterday he'd considered quitting to protest what he called an unethical Bush administration effort to stop him from telling lawmakers the cost of the Medicare legislation. So in every way, they shroud everything in secrecy, even innocuous information. It could be the collection of tire data, stuff that we pay for. We're not allowed to have access to it. Clean air, clean water, they just keep revising the standards so it's worse and worse. And they call it the Clean Air Act, and it's made it dirtier. But they're great with spinning stuff, and so far they've been able to do it. And so they become arrogant and complacent in their ability to spin. And now I think they're spinning a little bit out of control. That's what I'm thinking. And I think Richard Clark really had hit a nerve with them. 303-382-1150. Tony in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. I just had a comment to respond to a comment that you had made about 3 minutes ago on the program.
Mm-hmm.
You had said that you weren't exactly sure why Condoleezza Rice would say that Richard Clark had been out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that when he was the chief counterterrorism advisor for the Clinton administration, but when the Bush administration came into power, he was moved to another job where he was in charge of cybersecurity.
No, not until later. He was, the reason they kept him on is that nobody knows as much about counterterrorism as he does. He's apparently very well thought of and knows a lot. And at first she said, here it is, I have it here from the New York Times reporting it. Condoleezza Rice, took exception to Dick Cheney's assertion that Clark, Cheney said that Clark was out of the loop. On the contrary, Rice said, Clark was very much involved in the administration's fight against terrorism. I would not use the word out of the loop. So, you know, you got to make up your mind. Was he in the loop? Was he out of the loop? If he's your heavy duty, if he's your heavy hitter counterterrorist guy, why would you keep him out of the loop when counterterrorism has got to be our number one deal right now?
When was he moved from being the counterterrorism advisor?
Somewhere late in the game. But tell me what your point is, Tony.
Well, that's what I was responding to. He had changed jobs, I believe, in the Bush administration.
This is a man who's had years and years and years of counterterrorism experience. The reason they kept him on is they thought he was good, or they would have not kept him on. He has served four presidents. So why would you? Cheney's trying to dismiss him as a nobody, as somebody who is out of the loop. Tell me what your point is.
My point is maybe he was out of the loop as the transition was being made of administrations.
No, he was not out of the loop when the transit. No. He was very much in the loop when the transition was made. It was much later that he shifted over to another area. So are you trying to justify George? Are you trying to justify Dickey and the administration here?
Well, I had thought that he had been moved to another job in the Bush administration.
You can't have it both ways. If he's your heavy hitter, you wouldn't have kept him on if he wasn't good. And you keep him on, and now you try to dismiss him as a nobody and not in the loop, when you could ask the question of if terrorism is number one on the agenda, you would not have somebody who has his heavyweight counterterrorist credentials out of the loop. So it makes the administration look even more incompetent and more uninterested in the idea of counterterrorism. That's what I think the point is here. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. And Dick Clark goes on to say, he says, something I was not asked by the commission, but by invading Iraq. They didn't ask him about the invasion of Iraq and how he felt about it, but he's going to tell us anyway. He said, but by invading Iraq, the President of the United States has greatly undermined the war on terrorism. And he gives the reasons. And boys and girls and buckaroos, I practically wanted to cry when I read this, because I am not a counterterrorist expert. All I can modestly claim here is a little bit of common sense. Enough brain power, I hope, on most days to pedal a bicycle, which is more than we can say for some of you out there. But, you know, we all have our off days. And I said this in the run-up to the war. It will not make us safer. It will be, if you had a half a brain operating, even on quarter speed, you could see that our first responders are now fighting an irrelevant war. We don't need to fight. It's draining us of zillions of dollars. We have not, that's money that we could have used to strengthen our shorelines, to strengthen the security in this country, to inspect the cargo that comes in. We don't inspect very much of it, probably less than 1% of it. We could have used it to shore up our security around nuclear plants, chemical factories, the water supply, for example, railroads, and so forth. And that money is not available, not to mention the security you have when you have a well-educated population, and now huge budget cuts for education and every other thing, because we're getting drained of these huge, because we have huge deficits and because so much is going to fight a war. So you have a double whammy that way. And we took our eyes off of Afghanistan and Osama bin Laden in order to send our best people over to Iraq. And in sending everybody to Iraq, we have sent our first responders, who, if we were hit here, they would be the ones taking care of us. And he lists all of these and more. And I wanted to just scream, because I have been saying it and saying it and saying it, and it's like pissing in the wind. It's like nobody wants to hear this unless you're ready to hear it. It's like trying to give your friend the best advice. Don't marry so-and-so. Please, please don't marry so-and-so. And you can forget it. Until they're ready to hear it and ready to see something, it is completely, it's a wasted exercise. You've got to do it, because anything you do in life is going to be ultimately insignificant, but you got to do it because you know you tried. So I know I'm trying, but it is immensely frustrating. And here is somebody of Clark's stature, and he's saying it, and now people are beginning to listen a little bit more. You got to ask, what is this administration afraid of showing you? Why are they hiding everything, even the innocuous stuff? Jeff, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jeff. Hello? Are you there? No, I guess he's not. He lost his nerve. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC. 1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 74 degrees. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by FedEx. Still working the accident investigation on the north side, northbound I-25 at E-470. Got a new problem, Peoria and Albrook in the Montbello area. Watch for an accident there as well. Everything else is looking pretty nice around the metro area. Actually, speeds on the high side. With express ground and freight services, FedEx offers delivery options for all your shipping needs. You can always rely on the ultimate and reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
Citing the hellish experience she says she's had to face, the woman who has accused Kobe Bryant of rape filed a motion today asking the judge in the case to speed things up. The motion points out that the alleged incident took place nearly 9 months ago, and yet there are still a number of pretrial hearings to come. This report brought to you by Quest. The Colorado chapter of the American Red Cross is sponsoring a preparedness campaign to help Coloradans be prepared for any disaster. Officials say Colorado can be the best disaster prepared state in the U.S. if everyone follows five simple steps. Make a plan, get trained in first aid techniques, volunteer, give blood, and build a disaster kit. Testimony continues in the murder trial of Michael Blagg in Grand Junction. Yesterday, a family physician testified that while Jennifer Blagg was depressed, she said nothing about emotional or psychological problems with her husband Michael. Prosecutors say Michael Blagg killed his wife to get out of a troubled marriage. For choice and flexibility, get Quest Choice, home, phone, and long distance. More features and 5 cents a minute long distance make Quest the choice for Colorado. 888-273-9221 or Quest.com. Restrictions apply. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Do not change the channel.
Not your grandfather's talk radio station. We're yours.
We're yours.
The new generation of Denver talk radio can be found here. AM 1150.
AM 1150.
Lock it in.
Hi, Tom DeLappa and Walter Chow here, back to invite you to get deeper into movies at Madstone Theaters at Tamarack Square during the Premier Pick series. 6 weeks of six critically acclaimed films showing for 1 week only.
And this week we'll be watching Made Up, a comedy starring Brooke Adams and Tony Shalhoub. I thought it was an interesting commentary on our culture's obsession with beauty.
It's been called a coming of middle age comedy, or better yet, Mom Gets an Extreme Makeover.
You know, I've had a crush on Brooke Adams since Days of Heaven and Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
And Tony Shalhoub is always entertaining. He also directed Made Up. A lot of folks know him from the TV show Monk.
I think KNRC listeners will really have a lot of fun with this film. I'd love to hear their reaction of it.
That's easy enough. Come see Made Up and then come tell Walter and me what you think. We'll be at Madstone Theaters every Saturday night leading a free discussion of the premiere picked film of the week.
Made Up runs from March 26th through April 1st only at Madstone. For showtimes and information, call 303-752-3200 or visit MadstoneTheaters.com.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We will be seeing a cool down in these anormally warm temperatures by the start of the weekend. In fact, Friday brings a slight chance of an afternoon thunderstorm, and temperatures will then fall back into the 50s. But until that point, we've got sunshine today with a high around 75, an overnight low tonight near 45, and we'll be closer to 80 tomorrow. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy, 74 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 1:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. You know, our talent search for the Fab Five was no simple task, but at least financing it was. We actually covered our travel expenses using the membership rewards points we had earned on our American Express business cards.
With Open, the Small Business Network, you can make big things happen when you have an American Express business card. To apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN.
Enrollment in the membership rewards program required. Fees and terms may vary. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Do you ever wake up with back or body pain?
Oh.
Ah. When you need relief, try Extra Strength Bare Back and Body. It soothes aching backs and sore muscles with the trusted strength of Bare Aspirin, working effectively at the site of pain. Plus, it contains a special pain relief enhancer. Nothing is proven to work better than Bare Back and Body. Not Advil, not Tylenol. Don't let back aches and body pain slow you down. Take Bare Back and Body and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN.
Guess what? We've got them both.
AM 1150, KNRC.
Talk to Jimmy Lakey.
Retired General Tommy Franks, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. It's great to be with you.
One of the things about the Iraqi war, I guess you got to ask about those embedded reporters.
I've told a lot of people, Jimmy, that I'm the biggest fan of embedding reporters with our military. The moms and dads and relatives and loved ones of the youngsters who were serving over there were able to see what was going on every minute of every day, and so I thought it was a great thing.
Jimmy Lakey, weekday mornings at 6 on AM 1150 KNIC. The KNRC talk version of American Idol is Saturday and Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m.
Silent night. I said a silent night.
Ooh, that was just wrong. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering new talk show hosts for your review. Listen in and let us know what you think. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150 KNRC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
And I just feel like from the president on down, whatever administration, if they have nothing to hide, then they should be only too willing to testify and tell their story.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Jordan. 1:44 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and in the next hour, if all goes well, we'll be joined by Edward Ball, talking about Peninsula of Lies. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about a lot of things, and I'll reprise some of it. But before we get much farther, we've been talking a little bit about politics. MoveOn.org has been sending out a notice, and they're sending it out. Somebody, my cousin actually forwarded this to me. As you may have heard, Richard Clark, former counterterrorism advisor to Bush and a registered Republican who has worked in every administration since Reagan, has exposed Bush's mishandling of 9/11. And the war in Iraq. He does an amazing job of presenting the facts. And MoveOn says, we are committed to stopping this campaign of character assassination that the administration has launched against Dick Clark. And they want to be sure that the American public hears Clark's extraordinary comments. And they want to raise $300,000 in the next few days so that they can run a hard-hitting ad. So it isn't only that you have to defeat Bush at the polls, but you have to be sure that the voting is fair. That is really a key issue, and nobody's really talking about that because people assume that the voting is going to be fair, and I don't think we can make that assumption. What I want to ask you is this. One of you called in during the week to say that whose wife was a diehard Republican, usually it's the other way around, and suddenly she's having this aha moment and realizes that she's being had. Is this true of any? Is this a phenomenon? Is this true of the rest of you as well? Or is this just an isolated case here or there? I'd like to hear from you. 303-382-1150 if your eyes are beginning to be open. And when I said I practically cried when I saw what Richard Clark was saying about how going to war against Iraq actually makes us less safe in the war against terrorism, it greatly undermines a war against terrorism. I've been saying that for a long time. But there is a phenomenon, and other women will recognize this. If you were in a meeting and you're a woman and you suggest an idea, nobody seems to hear you. And then a few minutes later, when a guy in the meeting suggests the same idea that you just suggested 15 minutes before, everybody jumps on it like they heard it for the first time. Have you had that happen? It happens to me all the time. So I've been saying this for a long time. I've been saying this for over a year. But when Richard Clark says it, because of who he is and because he's a counterterrorist guy and because he's got a peeny weenie, people listen to him, and as well they should. And speaking of peeny weenies, there's your poor little doggy here who got a sex change. Yes, this doggy is not going to be a cross-dresser, I don't think, but they had to remove his peeny weenie because he had been mistreated by his previous owner, and he got frostbite there and infection, too. But they probably can't talk about that in Colorado schools if Sean Mitchell has his way and he's trying to introduce legislation that you cannot discuss homosexuality at all, and you could not teach it in elementary or secondary. You would prevent elementary and secondary school teachers from discussing gay families or prominent homosexuals in history, and that is a very long list. 303-382-1150. So this is what happens when you become part of the religious wrong, I think. Honestly, I think it leads you into these closets here of ignorance. Let's head over to the phone. Elaine calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hey, Elaine.
I am one of those people who fit your category when Bush started this. And I will say, even though I am a Republican, I have not been a Bush supporter. Except
Did you vote for him in the last election?
I did not.
Okay.
I have many problems with Bush. But on this issue of the war, I did agree with him and support him at first. And it has gradually been one person saying the love of the lies, and then another, and then another, and then it, how many more do we
Where was the tipping point for you? What was it? Because, you know, first there was No Weapons of Mass Destruction.
I think that probably,
then there was Paul O'Neill's book.
I think the No Weapons of Mass Destruction really started, I'm sitting there going, I thought that's why we went. I thought that they knew that there were they were there, and I kept expecting all the time for them to find them, and they never did. And then, you know, they discredit one person, they discredit, oh, well, who was the guy before O'Neill whose wife worked with the CIA? With the
Valerie Plame, Joseph Wilson.
First, they discredit him. Well, maybe that's one guy. Then there's O'Neill shows up. Then Clark shows up.
And they tried to go after O'Neill, and he was just cleared.
And see, they've gone, then they have attacked every one of these people, not on what they've said, but as people.
That's right.
And
they don't handle the substance of Clark's allegation, only that he's a nobody, he was out of the loop, he's nothing much.
Right. And, I mean, how many more people have to come forward before we go? How all these people cannot be lying.
And also, here's the thing. If someone is lying, and they will ultimately be exposed, why would you have to go after them with so much ferocity
exactly.
unless you have something to hide?
Exactly. And why won't you say the counter-argument? They've given them an opportunity with Condoleezza Rice
she
and
would.
President Bush
Are
to
you
go up there and say the other side.
And then they also removed the possibility, and I thought what kept her from testifying is that she would be testifying under oath. So if she said anything at all that was spin, she could later be hauled off to the pokey for it.
Right.
Well, they decided that she didn't have to testify under oath. Just come and testify, please, the families, everybody. Nope, she can't do it.
I have one
getting
more
her
question.
Hair done, getting those nails
exactly.
manicured.
I have one more question. I don't know if I heard this clearly. I don't know if anyone else heard this.
Oh, and the lies about the Medicare numbers, too.
Well, that city lies about everything. I'm worried about this mad cow thing, too. They're lying about that, too.
Well,
I mean,
well, we have a mad cow in charge of the regime.
Can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else heard this, but this morning, you know, Clark had apologized for what had happened to the families. And
he's the only one who has.
And she said something, and you know, you kind of half hear things. I wonder if anyone else heard this, that she thought it was either disgusting or appalling or something.
That who? The Condoleezza Rice
thought? Yes, said he would apologize.
I have not heard that. So if somebody else heard it, I want to hear from
them. I really want to know, because I mean, what is wrong with saying
I can't
that?
Imagine that she would have said that. She's not. She may be a mediocrity, but she's not that stupid. I think it would have only made her look terrible.
Okay, hopefully I'm wrong.
I hope you're not right about that, but if you are, it's even worse than for them than we thought. Thank you, Elaine. I really appreciate the call. Let's head over to Tom. Tom, hi, calling on a cell. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. It's Tom.
Hi, Tom.
I think the phrase you're looking for about somebody not having enough brains is, if his brains were gas, they wouldn't power a piss-ass motorcycle around the inside of a Cheerio.
A piss-ass motorcycle around the inside of a Cheerio?
Yes.
That's very good, Tom. I thank you for that. 303-382-1150. Steve on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Steve.
I believe that the Clark was removed because of what happened in 9/11. He was a national coordinator for security infrastructure.
But he wasn't. Wait, he wasn't the president. He wasn't removed because of what happened. She downgraded the position before 9/11, he couldn't get it. And he could.
October 9, 2001 was when he was removed from that position.
No. She downgraded it. She downgraded it. I want to tell you, Steve, she downgraded the position when he came in. It had been a higher level position where he had been dealing with principals. He was now dealing with deputies, and that was done before 9/11. It was done when they came into office. She didn't regard counterterrorism. She's a Soviet specialist. She didn't regard it as important, apparently, as the Cold War, nor did the rest of the administration. This is what's being reported.
I think you better research that more. He was actually the national coordinator for security, infrastructure, protection, and counterterrorism from 1998.
No, you're talking about being moved over to cyber terrorism.
He was moved over there.
Yeah, but I'm telling you that when the transition was made, they didn't regard terrorism as the threat that the Clintons did, and so they gave it short shrift. They downgraded his position from dealing with principals to dealing with deputies. In every way, it is being demonstrated, Steve, and I wish you would do the research here, that they didn't take terrorism seriously, and that's the conclusion of the 9/11 committee. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
The market goes up and the market goes down. The name in business is CNBC, and it's exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
What's on TV tonight? TV Guide Channel knows. Watch the all-new series What's On and find out what's new, what's best, and what's next on TV. Tonight, only on TV Guide Channel.
Are you looking for an opportunity to meet 20 or 30 other singles this month guaranteed without doing the bar scene or getting into pressured dating situations? I can tell you the Cottonwood Connection is helping singles from Denver to Boulder do just that, and they make it easy to do. Picture yourself with that new special someone heading to the mountains or a beach at Cabo sharing your personal hopes and dreams. Oh, those romantic dinners where you meet in the middle of that strand of pasta. Does it get any better than that? Check out Cottonwood Connection and call them at 303-424-2300 or check out their website at cottonwoodconnection.com. Most online dating services provide a searchable database, and that's about it. At Cottonwood Connection, they provide you with personal coaching, dating advice, professional videos, background checks, and lots of fun and exciting activities geared to help you meet other singles. They're a singles company that is more personal than internet dating and less expensive than dating services. Act now to take advantage of this year's incredible annual spring membership drive special. You can sign up now and receive 50% off your membership. That's right, half off. That's CottonwoodConnection.com or 303-424-2300.
Imagine calling the UK for 6 cents a minute or Mexico for 9 cents a minute, all from your wireless phone. Introducing enhanced discounted international dialing only from AT&T Wireless. Sign up now for $3.99 a month on qualified plans, and you can call to over 30 countries at the lowest rates of any national wireless carrier. Just call 1-866-REACH-OUT or visit attwireless.com today.
Reach out on the Wireless Service America Trust, AT&T Wireless.
Countries and rates may change. Airtime and roaming charges and mobile surcharge may apply in addition to international calling rates. Geographic limitations, special credit and billing requirements, device compatibility, and other restrictions apply.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Have you been thinking about donating your car, boat, truck, or RV? Jewish Family Service makes helping the less fortunate while saving on your taxes as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1. Call Jewish Family Service at 303-597-5000. 2. Arrange a pickup time. 3. Get a receipt for your tax donation. It's that easy. Call JFS at 303-597-5000 or visit their website at jewishfamilyservice.org and point your car in a direction that will help children and families in need.
Talk to Jimmy Lakey.
Hey, let's go to the phones. We've got some winners. Here's what I need you to do. You got to tell me who you switched from and why. Marie in Denver, she's won a gift back. Marie, welcome to the program. Who'd you switch from and why?
I switched from KOA, and I just like a different perspective, and you guys furnish that.
Let's go to Tracy. Tracy, welcome into the program.
Hi.
Hi, who'd you switch from and why?
Hey, Hal.
How come?
I get tired of hearing them talk about the same thing every single morning.
Jimmy Lakey, weekday mornings at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC. You told us you needed more traffic reports during the morning and afternoon commute, and we listened. AM 1150 KNRC now provides you traffic reports at least 5 times each hour during mornings and afternoons. After all, we are the third worst traffic city in America. AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Frankly, he is the first person who has apologized to the families, and that means an awful lot to us because clearly 9/11 was a colossal failure, and it means something when people have the ability to say, look, I failed you, but here's what I'm going to do to make sure it never happens again. And frankly, the White House has obviously done a cost-benefit analysis. They have determined that it is easier to take the heat on her failure to testify as opposed to her going under oath and answering questions as to what the president knew and when he knew it.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:56 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. That is one of the 9/11 widows speaking. And speaking about Condoleezza Rice not wanting to testify, I think all of this is going to maybe individually, the White House can get away with it, but all of it is going to eventually have a cumulative effect. We'll see what happens. Capricia calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Capricia, hi.
Yes, how you doing, Enid?
Good.
What I was calling about, you said about teaching homosexuality in the schools, I think it's crazy.
We're not talking about teaching homosexuality. We're talking about figures in history who might have been gay are not the secondary and elementary school teachers not supposed to teach about them if this legislation goes anywhere. And this is House Bill 1375 being argued right now in the Colorado legislature.
Oh, okay.
All right, got that. All thanks, right. Capricia. 303-382-1150. David calling from Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, David.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Hey, I had two items that have been in the news, one more recent, one in the past, that I was just curious about. What has happened with Saddam Hussein?
I don't know. If you read the tabs, he's got cancer and world specialists are treating him because it's like when you're on death row. They don't want you to off yourself. They would, the state wants to have the pleasure of doing it. So they alcohol you before they do the lethal injection and they have a suicide watch so that you don't say bye bye before they can beat you to the punch. So I don't know where he is. He's being debriefed, which means they're taking off his underpants every day.
Well, it seems to me like that the Bush administration, rather than sitting and pointing a finger at the opposing party and saying, you know, this is all the things they've done bad, they would try and utilize him as a source to say, this is what we've done good, and here's the information we've got from this, you know, heinous criminal that we captured. But they just, you know, he's just sitting there now.
Well, I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he's getting manicures. I have no idea what Saddam is doing. But here's the story. I have said repeatedly, wait, 5 minutes before the election, they're going to bring in Osama bin Laden. He's on ICE. They're going to bring him in right before the election, very soon, whatever. What I'm not factoring into this is that they can cheat on the voting with these electronic voting machines that we know are very, two studies, big ones, Johns Hopkins and the state of Maryland, both found these electronic voting machines extremely troubling. And the owners of these voting machine companies, such as the owner of Diebold, have all acknowledged that they'll do anything they can. They're Republicans and they'll do anything they can to be sure that Bush has another term. Be sure that he wins the next election. Well, he didn't win the last election, if you want my point, my view of it. So I think we have to be really vigilant and insist on paper trail for the e-voting and insist that there is enough poll watching going on because they can steal it that way. It doesn't matter what people want. They can steal the election. I think they did it in Georgia. And they might have even done it in Colorado with Strickland and Allard. One more hour of Enid right here on...
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm David Gregory at the White House. Senior administration sources tell NBC News National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice is asking for another private interview with the commission looking into the 9/11 attacks. She wouldn't testify under oath, but apparently hopes to counter allegations that the Bush administration didn't do enough to prevent the terrorist strikes. There were rumors he was surrounded by Pakistani troops, but Al-Qaeda's number two man may have been able to record a new audio tape. NBC's Jim Maceda in Islamabad says Al Jazeera Television is airing what sounds like the voice of Ayman al-Zawahiri.
It calls on Muslims in Pakistan to overthrow Musharraf, who he says is working in cahoots with America.
Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf is cracking down on suspected terrorists. The Senate has begun an emotional debate on legislation that would make it a federal crime to harm or kill what supporters call an unborn child. I'm David Gregory, NBC News Radio.
Another startling fact from Progressive. When most Americans listen to car insurance commercials, this is what they hear. Talk about boring. It rivals, grouting your tub. So, here's some real news. At Progressive.com, we'll give you our direct price and in most cases the rates of other big name companies. You could save hundreds. So go to Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We now return you to your regularly scheduled blah blah. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want huge savings? Don't miss the JCPenney huge sale. This Friday and Saturday, everything is on sale. No exceptions, no exclusions. Plus, save even more when you shop early Saturday from 8 to 1 for fantastic doorbusters and an extra 10% off sale and clearance prices store-wide. So hurry in. This Friday and Saturday, everything is on sale. No exceptions, no exclusions. The JCPenney huge sale. JCPenney. Exclusions apply for extra savings. See store for details. Sounds March 27th.
Good afternoon, partly cloudy, 71 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Time for us to check traffic with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Quest, and finally starting to get back to normal around the metro area. We finally did clear the accident investigation northbound I-25 at E-470. Also as well, all the accidents on and off the freeways. The last of them was Peoria at Albrook. Everything else should be out of the way, so smooth sailing for the time being. For choice and flexibility, get Quest Choice home, phone, and long distance. More features and 5 cents a minute long distance make Quest the choice for Colorado. 888-273-9221 or Quest.com. Restrictions apply. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, the 19-year-old woman who accuses NBA star Kobe Bryant of rape pleaded with a judge in Eagle today to set a trial date soon. A motion to the court by her attorney, John Kloon, said the woman had received hundreds of death threats concerning the case. Kloon further said in his motion that she's been forced to leave school, can't live at home, and can't talk to her friends. The motion added, quote, none of these consequences will end until after this case goes to trial. Yesterday, the woman spent nearly 4 hours in a closed hearing about her sexual history. Cynthia Stone with the Colorado Coalition Against Sexual Assault said the alleged victim exuded confidence outside the courtroom before and after her testimony yesterday.
She walked in and out of this courtroom today with her head held high, and we think that is a great sign. I think that shows determination, I think it shows strength, and I also think it shows strength of conviction.
Defense attorneys argue that history, her sexual history, should be allowed at trial. This report brought to you by Tyson Chicken. The Red Cross wants Coloradans to be prepared for anything. Red Cross officials say a more proactive approach to safety is the best way to be ready for disasters. Colorado Lieutenant Governor Jay Norton says this kind of campaign is essential in a state like Colorado.
Those of you who've been in Colorado know that we can get a wildfire at any time. We've had some pretty incredible snow storms and tornadoes as well. So it's imperative that Coloradans know that they can be prepared for a type of an emergency like this.
This is the first statewide preparedness campaign run by the Colorado Red Cross. Officials say Colorado can be the best disaster-prepared state in the U.S. if everyone follows five simple steps. Make a plan, get trained in first aid techniques, volunteer, give blood, and build a disaster kit. Disaster kits should include basics like a dust mask, rope, and a flashlight. For more information, log on to www.denver-redcross.com. Testimony continues in the murder trial of Michael Blagg. Yesterday, family physician Dr. Greg Rakes said that Jennifer Blagg was depressed and uninterested in sex, but the doctor continued saying that Jennifer Blagg said nothing about emotional or psychological problems with her husband, Michael. Prosecutors contend that Michael Blagg killed his wife to get out of a troubled marriage. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche take on the Detroit Red Wings tonight at the Pepsi Center. Avs beat the Wings 5-2 when they last played on Valentine's Day. Just a little over a week left in spring training, the Colorado Rockies continuing their preseason play today against the San Francisco Giants. Family dinner tonight, try great-tasting Tyson chicken breasts, nuggets, and tenders. Naturally wholesome Tyson chicken, ready in minutes, oven or microwave. Pick them up tonight in your grocer's freezer. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Now, the next generation of talk radio.
Talk with us.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is a consumer alert. To reduce excess inventories of manufacturer's supplies, MedVet is hosting a massive markdown sale for Chevrolet products. Acres and acres of Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Impalas, and the all-new Colorado pickups are on sale at liquidation prices. Discounts are as high as $13,000 on select vehicles. During this event, profit is not a major consideration. This incredible sale is at two and only two locations, the MedVet Autoplex in Wheatridge and the MedVet Autoplex in Castle Rock. 0% financing is available for qualified buyers. National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value. Hurry, if you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity. Selection is huge, but is expected to diminish rapidly. The massive MedVet markdown sale at the giant MedVet Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheatridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Loving this short-sleeve weather, and it'll get even warmer before it cools down on Saturday. So make the most of it with mostly sunny skies through the rest of the afternoon. We'll top out around 75 for the high. Our overnight low tonight near 45. Tomorrow with sunshine, we're closer to 80. And then on Saturday, a slight chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon, cooler in the 50s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy, 71 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and with me live in studio, Edward Ball. He has written a new book called Peninsula of Lies, a true story of mysterious birth and taboo love. And reading about it reminded me a little bit of The Garden of Good and Evil, although I think they don't have a lot in common, but they have some things in common. And a previous book of his, Slaves in the Family, won the National Book Award, so a very prestigious award. Thank you for joining us, Edward Ball.
My pleasure, thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah, there, right into the microphone. You can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30. Talk to me before we talk about Peninsula of Lies. Well, I'll tell you what. Tell me about the Peninsula of Lies. What's it about? Because it's a very, from what I can determine, a very Baroque story.
Yes, Peninsula of Lies.
And it's a true story.
It's a true story. It tells the story of a woman named Dawn Langley Simmons, who was born a man named Gordon Hall in England, southeast of London, before World War II, and became, in the U.S., one of the first sex reassignment cases in America.
What year?
This would have been
in the
50s? This would have been in the mid 1960s. The earliest case that people are familiar with was the Christine Jorgensen case, which was 1953. But after that, which caused a sensation, there was a kind of backlash against sex reassignment in the U.S., and no one was willing to perform surgery until the late 1960s. Gordon Langley Hall moved to New York. He was the son of servants. He managed to insinuate himself into the good graces of an heiress named Isabel Whitney and inherited money from this woman.
The Whitney Museum?
That's correct, yes. And with this fortune, moved to Charleston, South Carolina, which was a sleepy, backwater city where the civil rights movement had not yet made its imprint. And he set himself up as a kind of social host and member of local society, a party giver, as a kind of figure in the newspapers. And it was in 1967 that
he inherited money from Isabel Whitney?
That's correct. He inherited money from...
So he starts out life as a son of servants.
He starts out life at a place called Sissinghurst Castle, which is southeast of London. It's the estate of a famous novelist, Vida Sackville-West.
And so ground zero for the Bloomsbury Group.
That's correct. And he, as a child of the chauffeur there, watched the employers of his parents as though they were giants striding across the land. And he idolized them, and he wanted to become a writer. And he manages to struggle his way out of England and the British working class and land in New York penniless in the 1950s.
And how does he ingratiate himself with someone of the stature then of Isabel Whitney?
Right. Isabel
Whitney
is at this point 70 years old, never married. She was once an artist, a muralist with a serious career. She had decorated the lobby of the Brooklyn Museum and had many rich clients. But she had suffered a fall and she was frail. And she only painted watercolors, which she showed at galleries. And at an opening of one of her shows, there was this young, thin, handsome, and talkative kid who was very affectionate towards her, and she takes a liking to him. She invites him to move in with her in her 30-room mansion off of Fifth Avenue in Greenwich Village, and he becomes her caregiver and she his benefactor. She helps him while he tries to get a writing career on its feet. He publishes a couple of society biographies. The first one, a biography of Princess Margaret, the sister of Queen Elizabeth, then a biography of Jackie Kennedy, and he gets himself in the papers as a nonfiction book writer. And in 1962, Isabel Whitney dies, and she leaves to him a small fortune and two houses.
How much does she leave to him?
Well, he claims that it was $2 million, but it was actually somewhat less than that. In any case, it was a good deal of money, and he's suddenly a man of means, having never really had much to call his own. And he moves to Charleston, South Carolina in 1962 to reinvent himself now as a kind of Southern gentleman. He has an English accent, he's a published author, and he has manners that he's learned from being around people from the upper classes, and he persuades the local white elite, who are in love with everything English, that he is the true son of the aristocracy, even though he has a Cockney accent. Nobody really knows the difference. And he manages to become, he gets to be a guest at all the city's high tables. And
when he dresses as a pearly king, nobody notices that either.
He's really a flamboyant performer. And he becomes a fixture on the local scene. Charleston at this time is a beautiful but backward and somewhat poor city where the whites who have money like to have black servants, and they use their antique silver on a daily basis. And this is the climate in which he's moving. Well, in 1967, he decides, without provocation, that he wants to go to Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore and become one of the first sex reassignment patients at that hospital, which has just opened something called the Gender Identity Clinic, the first sex reassignment clinic in the United States. And he's one of the first 10 or 15 patients there. He returns to Charleston as an anatomical woman named Dawn. And in
so everybody in Charleston knew him as Gordon.
That's right.
And now he comes back and he's Dawn.
And he's Dawn.
And how do they greet this?
Well, with a mixture of bewilderment and fear. Because
not amusement.
Not amusement, no. Sex reassignment is not part of the Southern tradition. And he,
well, it conflicts with the grits, for one thing.
And she, Dawn Hall, begins to claim that she had actually been born a hermaphrodite. That is, an intersexual, a person of dual sexual identity. And that her feminine identity had merely been revealed with corrective surgery, that a genital anomaly had been corrected.
Yes.
And that this
quite
was
a genital anomaly.
That's right. This was not a sex change, but a sex correction.
Well, I would have said a sex clarification.
She would have liked that.
She would have.
And this is.
And she is how old at this point in her life?
Well, she claims one age, but is actually another age.
Oh, women, they always do that.
She claims to be 30, I believe, at this point. She's actually older than that. But
a lot older?
Considerably older.
Like what, 40, 50?
She's towards 40. And she returns to her mansion to live as Dawn. And from being a social insider, she is now made into a pariah. On the street, people hound her. Teenage boys throw things at her. She loses almost all of her friends. Most of her friends, when she was Gordon Hall, were gay men in a tiny, perhaps not so tiny, group of closeted male homosexuals.
Southern
men, some of whom are married with children, but who are nevertheless gay men. And most of those friends of his and hers abandon her because her flamboyance makes things harder for them, and they want to be discreet in their private lives. And she becomes somewhat of a recluse. But lo and behold, she meets a young African-American man named John Paul Simmons.
This is a true story. If you're just joining us, my guest is Edward Ball, and the book is Peninsula of Lies. It's a true story, and he's giving us the story in Peninsula of Lies.
That's right.
So she meets a young black man whose
right.
name is?
John Paul Simmons.
And he's how old?
He's 19.
And
so
she's nearly 40. Well,
that's
40-ish.
Correct. So Dawn Langley Hall, who is a post-operative transsexual, meets a white, rich, post-operative transsexual living in Charleston, South Carolina, the queen city of the old Confederacy, meets a young black man with a seventh-grade education named John Paul Simmons. He's thin, he's handsome, he's soft-spoken, and she becomes obsessed with him. She covers him with blandishments and allurements, clothing and money, and seduces him, invites him into her mansion, and they decide to be married in January 1969. Now, this is at a time when interracial marriage is still illegal in the South, and the marriage of a transsexual is something that no one had ever comprehended before. So the local reaction is astonishment. They become outcasts. They become the city freaks. If you use the name Dawn in Charleston, everyone knows to whom you're referring. And John Paul Simmons, who is otherwise a nice guy, loses many of his black family who shun him, and they become recluses in their house. Meantime, the money is running low. They have spent through it rapidly. There wasn't as much money as Dawn had initially claimed, and the house is beginning to suffer disrepair. The bank takes this opportunity to evict them and foreclose on the mortgage, and they move into a tumble-down apartment in a tough section of Charleston. And Dawn Simmons has no longer any white friends. She enters black society and becomes an honorary person of color whose only friends are African-American women. All this is unfolding in the summer of 1969 and 1970, and it's causing ripples of amazement and laughter at this point around the South.
There's a lot of civil rights activity going on in the South at this time.
Except in Charleston, which was practically inured to the civil rights movement until one protest event in 1969. The reason, perhaps, was that that state, the ruling authorities in that state, were quick to use excessive force to put down any activity. So in 1969, a group of 500 black nurses went on strike for an increase from the minimum wage. They were nurses' aides, actually. And when they went into the streets in their white uniforms, the governor called out the National Guard, and suddenly there were men with guns facing down these women with their handbags. And that was the reaction to black empowerment in that place and in that time. Dawn Simmons actually becomes part of this protest and a figure who circulated among the organizers of this particular incident. But that's a sort of parallel story to the main event, which is the unfolding of her sexuality. And because what takes place next is really the crown on this Baroque story. In 1971, Dawn produces a mixed-race daughter whom she claims is her biological child.
But she's now how old?
She's now in her 40s.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out of question these days for women in their 40s to have children. She says that this is her biological child. Her name is Natasha, and she is a light-skinned African-American girl who is plausibly the daughter of a black man and a white woman, had her mother been capable of conceiving. Yes, she had conceived, she said, and she had a birth certificate to prove it, which she showed to anyone who was willing to look at it. At this point, the local people have nothing to do with this couple whatsoever. When they go shopping at the grocery store, people turn their backs on them. And one night, they vanish. And they have fled to upstate New York because Dawn said that she wanted to escape her tormentors. This was 1974, I think. At that point, the rest of the city says good riddance, and the couple has vanished, and that was the last that anyone there heard of them. 20 years later, Dawn, now an old woman, and her daughter, now grown, return to Charleston because Dawn wants to move there to die. It's her adopted hometown. 1997, they return to Charleston. The husband is gone from their lives, and Natasha and her mother move into apartments a block from each other, and they're inseparable. They see each other all the time. And in 2000, Dawn Simmons dies. And that's where I begin to pick up the case.
How did you meet her? Did you ever meet her? How did you hear about the story?
Well,
what interested you about the story,
sure,
other than the obvious, which is it's a very Baroque story?
It is. I was living in Charleston at the time, working on a book of mine, Slaves in the Family, in 1999, when I received a letter from Dawn Simmons. I'd never met her before. I knew who she was. When I saw her name on the return address, the hair on the back of my neck went up because of the kind of malicious gossip that still circulated about this person who had disappeared from view some 20 years before. And this letter was reaching out to me in a way. It was the most unusual letter I'd received at that until that time. She said, "Dear Mr. Ball, I was once an antiques collector, and I once owned the Ball family commode chair. It was Chippendale in style. And I want to know, this was your family's toilet, was it not? I want to know whether you still know where this piece of furniture is, and you can help me find it." It was her odd way of communicating. She probably wanted to talk about more than toilets, but this was the way that she reached out to me. And I wrote her back. I said, "Well, let's meet sometime." Well, much to my dismay, she died within a few months before I could meet her.
Oh.
I went to her funeral, and it was there that I met her friends, the few that remained, and her daughter, Natasha, and became interested in telling her story.
What became of her in those 20 years when she was in upstate New York? Had she...
She aged...
Other than just living her life day to day, was there anything very remarkable about what she had done?
She was a single mom. After...
What happened to the husband? Do we know?
The husband, in the late 1970s, was diagnosed with schizophrenia and institutionalized in a mental hospital in Albany, in the state psychiatric hospital there.
Is he still there?
He's not. I met him a year ago. He's an outpatient, living in an apartment, supervised by a social worker, heavily medicated, living on Social Security. But when we sat down, John Paul Simmons, who's now 60-something years old, barely coherent because of all the medication, had one subject that obsessed him, and that was that of his wife. And he was completely clear on the subject of his wife. And he was able to tell me a story, 2 hours long in length, about how he was seduced into her life, what happened to him during the sex reassignment, how the daughter appeared, and all of the almost a week-by-week account.
Do he and the daughter, are they in touch with each other?
They are now. Before I began working on this book, he had been missing in action for many years. I found him, and now the daughter and he are back in touch.
My guest is Edward Ball. The book is Peninsula of Lies, a true story of mysterious birth and taboo love. You can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, at 7:30. His previous book, Slaves in the Family, was the winner of National Book Award. That's really pretty impressive. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150, KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Money. It burns a hole in your pocket, makes the world go round, and it's the root of all evil. Money matters. But just how much? That's the question a man named William Shakespeare asked himself before writing The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare's Merchant masterfully examines just what money can do to friends, lovers, and enemies. It's quite a play, still funny and thought-provoking 300 years later. Luckily, The Merchant of Venice plays at the one place in town that will do it justice, the Denver Center Theater Company, with rich costumes, superb acting, and really comfy seats. You get your money's worth. Just be forewarned, tickets are a commodity. Buy your seat today or it's likely to be gone faster than you can say, ka-ching. The Merchant of Venice, only at the Denver Center Theater Company. March 25th through April 24th. Call 303-893-4100 or visit denvercenter.org.
Delcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Delcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Delcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at belcaro.com.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. The bulls are back. Investors returned to the market in a big way today following 2 weeks of declines. Blue chips broke a five-day losing streak, up 171 points to 10,219. The NASDAQ rose by 58 to 1967. Investors were encouraged by positive news on the economy today. The Labor Department saying gross domestic product rose at a 4.1% annual rate in the fourth quarter. That, however, is down from 8.2% in the third quarter. It's getting more painful to fill her up. Prices at the pump hit a record high for the third straight day. The AAA says the average price of regular gas is at $1.74 a gallon. Apple Computer will delay global sales of its new iPod mini digital music player until July. The company says it's postponing the launch due to stronger than expected demand here in the United States. Apple began shipping the smaller version of the iPod in February. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
Another startling fact from Progressive. When most Americans listen to car insurance commercials, this is what they hear. Talk about boring. It rivals, grouting your tub. So, here's some real news. At Progressive.com, we'll give you our direct price and, in most cases, the rates of other big-name companies. You could save hundreds. So, go to Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We now return you to your regularly scheduled blah blah. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
He won't read you word for word the Denver Post on his show every morning.
Who are you?
Jimmy Lakey on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:30 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. My guest is Edward Ball. The book, Peninsula of Lies, a true story of mysterious birth and taboo love. Edward Ball is a National Book Award winning writer, and you can meet him tonight, Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek at 7:30. This book reads like a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And so we won't give it away.
Okay.
We don't want to give it away, though, do we?
No, I don't want to.
We don't want to do that. But I'm looking at the pictures, which are just incredible here. And what a fascinating story. All right. Now, the point of the mystery is?
Right. Well, this person who is the centerpiece of the book, Dawn Langley Simmons,
started out life as
a boy in England before World War II, came to America and became one of the first sex reassignment patients at Johns Hopkins Hospital in the 1960s.
We were talking in the break. We have a little doggy who was reassigned at sex here in Colorado because its previous owner abused him, and his little peeny weenie got frostbite and an infection, and so they snipped it off and turned him into a girl dog. And I don't know if he can handle that, but we do know that there is a company called Nuticles. If your dog has been neutered, they have little false little things that they hook onto your dog so your dog won't be embarrassed in the company of dogs that haven't been neutered.
Well, I'll have to take your word for that, Eden.
Yes. Nuticles is perhaps a solution here. Yes. All right. So he had a gender reassignment, Gordon
right.
Langley Hall did,
he
and became
did
Dawn.
And became Dawn. And living in the Deep South in the late 1960s in the old-fashioned city of Charleston, Dawn Hall married a young black man named John Paul Simmons in the first interracial marriage in the state's history.
Did they have to go out of state to do it?
No, they didn't. Interracial marriage was technically illegal, but the Supreme Court had 1 year earlier struck down a similar law in Virginia that prohibited so-called miscegenation, and that by doing so made null and void all of the other laws in the southern states that prohibited blacks and whites from marrying.
So the mystery is to find out, was she really a girl?
The mystery
was she
is
really
to find out what she was, what her sex identity was, because she claimed to have been born a hermaphrodite. a person of dual sexual identity, and that her sex reassignment was actually a correction, that her feminine identity was latent, that she had a womb, that she had actually experienced menstrual cycles irregularly.
Had she really given birth to this daughter? It doesn't sound like she had.
And that she was about to... She claimed that when she produced her daughter, Natasha, this was her biological child. And I set out to try to find out what were the facts, because Natasha, whom I got to know, was told throughout her life from childhood that, yes, you are my child.
Did Natasha know that her mother was a boy at one time?
Yes, Natasha became aware of this in her teens. Her mother told her that she, Dawn, was ill and had been cured and was once living as a man and had finally found her true sexual identity, and this was her story. And Natasha grew up carrying around a dog-eared copy of her own birth certificate to show to schoolmates who would make fun of her and tease her about her mother's past. So the mystery, the enigma, is what was the truth? Was Dawn telling the truth, or was she performing something else? I found about 20 of her friends from childhood up until the day she died, and I went all over the place interviewing them and getting their version of the facts. I went through her papers. The papers of Dawn Simmons, surprisingly enough, are in the possession of Duke University Library in Durham, North Carolina, some 40 boxes of letters, manuscripts, and diaries, and I sifted through those. I found the physicians at Johns Hopkins who treated her in the 60s. They're now men in their 80s. And I gradually unraveled the enigma of her identity.
And we can find out what the resolution is in Peninsula of Lies, A True Story of Mysterious Birth and Taboo Love. You had worked for the Village Voice.
I had, yes.
You had been an art critic.
An art critic. I wrote about architecture, movies, books during the 80s and early 90s, yeah.
So to move into nonfiction was not a huge stretch, but a stretch.
It was a bit of a stretch. I was born and raised in the South, went off to college in the North and lost my Southern accent. I was living in New York City when I began to want to investigate my own family's past. It was a very It was not a benign past. My father's family had been slave owners in South Carolina for two centuries, and we had enslaved thousands of African Americans. And I wanted to try to tell that story and find African American families whose ancestors we had once enslaved.
Are you related to any of those slaves, do you think?
Yes, yes. And in the course of writing this book, my first book, Slaves in the Family, I found African Americans who are cousins of mine, and made this fact public, and that was part of the research of that book. Yeah.
That in itself is an extraordinary story, and that's the book for which you won the National Book Award.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So here we are, Peninsula of Lies, The True Story of Mysterious Birth and Taboo Love. Edward Ball, my guest. One final question.
Sure.
Were you changed in any way for having almost met, but not quite, Dawn, the main character in the
mm-hmm,
book, and for having written this book?
Mm-hmm. Well,
Other than the changes, you know, anytime you write something,
right,
there are changes that occur. But was there anything about all of this that surprised you?
Right. Well, what I learned, the epiphany, if there was one, is that a person can be a series of inventions. And here was a person who lived like a chameleon. And it's a very American story. He came to America and then reinvented himself every few years as something else. Every time he moved, he would become another person.
I'm surprised he moved back to Charleston after the sex reassignment. I would have thought that somebody so inventive would want to start out new. There must have been something there to want to put it to the people he was saying goodbye to, in a way, or helping hastening the process.
You know, what she wanted above all else was to be a mother. And once she had Natasha, her daughter, this drive to create new identities seemed to die away.
And because, but if you want to be a mother, you're putting your child and yourself through so much to come back into this society that will reject you, will demand to see your birth certificate at every turn.
It's true.
Why didn't she go to upstate New York or someplace else as soon as she had the sex reassignment and start out a new life in a place where they would have only known her as a woman?
It's a fair question. I think that she liked the experience of causing a sensation, and she certainly did that in the Deep South.
Edward Ball, thank you so much for joining us today. The book is Peninsula of Lies, A True Story of Mysterious Birth and Taboo Love. You can meet him at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30. Thank you. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 70 degrees. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Albertsons, and looking much better out there around the metro area. There's some good news for you. We did have a couple problems still lingering. We do have an accident at Lincoln and 6th, as well as one C-470 at Broadway. It's in the median, so watch for that. If you like fresh baked bread with dinner, then head to Albertsons, where their freshly baked French bread is just 99 cents and waiting for you, fresh and warm. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
Kobe Bryant's accuser has filed a motion asking the judge in the rape case to move things along more quickly. The motion filed today asked Judge Terry Ruckriegel for a swift resolution of pending motions and the setting of a trial date. This report brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. Governor Bill Owens has appointed two people to the State Housing Board. Owens named Don Marastica, a Loveland land developer, and Suzanne Buckner, the executive director of Tri-County Housing Incorporated, to serve on the board, which establishes uniform construction and maintenance standards for hotels, motels, and factory-built housing. Another year of losses for the Colorado State Fair. A drop in box office sales is being blamed for the fair losing money for the second year in a row. Supporters of the fair say while the fair itself may lose money, it brings in other revenue from people visiting the state and spending money while they're here. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxdeduction.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:40.
Across the Front Range and the Rocky Mountains, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
Denver's premier talk station.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
Hear both sides daily.
Both sides.
On AM 1150 KNRC. Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free t-shirts for your employees.
Well, that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. It is going to be another beautiful day, much like yesterday, with mostly sunny skies, a high around 75, fair tonight with a low near 45, warmer even still tomorrow with sunshine and a high near 80. On Saturday, we've got a slight chance of an afternoon thunderstorm as the cooler air works in. Our Saturday highs will be in the 50s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 70 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
For centuries, man has sought to beautify his homeland and protect it from unwelcome invaders. It took the Chinese over 1,600 years to construct the Great Wall, which established property boundaries, embellished the landscape, and protected its residents. But within a few weeks, Elkar Fence can expertly install one of over 50 styles of fence, For over 55 years, Colorado residents have turned to Elkar Fence to enhance the privacy and beauty of their property. We can also design a custom fence to fit your specific needs. Now is the perfect time to secure your home for spring and summer. Top-notch products, dependable service, and competitive prices have made Elkar the largest builder of quality fences in the Rocky Mountain region. Elkar is also one of the largest commercial fence builders in the area. Call Elkar today at 755-5211 for a free quote on your own attractive great wall. That's Elkar Fence, 755-5211.
Want to hit the fan while you were hitting the sack?
The worst is yet to come.
Find out mornings with Dick Kelsey during the Jenny Lakey Show, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:43 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and then Billy Thorpe takes over for Doug Kellett. And he's yours from 3 to 6 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Doug is out this week. He'll be back next week. And Billy will be in today and tomorrow. Bill Thorpe filling in for Doug Kellett. A completely different point of view. Doug is rolling around in Florida at a different point of view in this time slot. We've been talking about a lot of things if you're just joining us today. We've been talking about politics. We've been talking about, it's being reported, Condoleezza Rice wants to meet again with the commission, but I think still not in public. I think still in private, but the polls in the White, the polling that the White House is doing must indicate to them that it's a really negative thing for Condoleezza Rice not to come before the 9/11 commission. So now they're trying to clean it up in some way. I don't know if that will work or not. You have a lot of things that are beginning. You're getting a tipping point. You're getting a perfect storm here for the Bush administration, negatively for the Bush administration. That Colorado is suddenly a swing state is an amazement to me. That means, boys and girls and buckaroos, you get out there. We got a chance here to get rid of this regime if the voting is honest voting. We have had Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org and studies conducted by Johns Hopkins University and the University of and the state of Maryland indicate that there you can go into the system, the software is troubling, you can change the tally without ever leaving any tracks. I mean, this is really a bad thing, and this crew will do anything in order to steal the election. And you have the owners of these systems, like Diebold and so on, committed to reelecting George W. Bush, reselecting George Dickey in the White House again. So 303-382-1150. We're also talking about Colorado Representative Sean Mitchell has introduced a bill that would prohibit schools and school employees from discussing any of the natural variations of human sexuality except heterosexuality. So they can only talk about heterosexuality. The only time they can talk about any other thing is when they're talking about STDs. This bill that they're discussing in chambers now, arguing, would muzzle elementary and secondary school teachers from discussing gay families or prominent gays in history and literature. And their list of prominent gays in history and literature is a long list. Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great. That's why they call him Alexander the Great. Cole Porter, Gertrude Stein. I mean, the list is on and on and on. If you Google homosexuals in history, I think you get a whole list of, and some of you have already done that, which I've got to sort of dig through here and find it. So, once again, instead of concentrating on what really matters to Colorado, you have politicians, and I'm going to tell you something. On the 9/11 Commission, one of the things that was really distressing here is that you had politicians from both sides of the aisle, prominent people who should have done more, who should have known more, and who were more interested, I think, in their own careers and consolidating their own power bases. And I don't care what you say about the Clintons. They were not perfect. There were plenty of flaws. There's plenty of flaws and plenty of blame to go around. But you have an environment post 9/11 in this country that you did not have with the Clintons. Whatever you want to say about the Clintons, once 9/11 happened, it changed everything. And this administration, instead of rising to that challenge and trying to work hard to make this country safer in every single way, has made this country weaker and less safe. And the war that they're waging is against its own citizens. They have made this country, they are financial terrorists, this regime in Washington, this tax cut repeated rounds of tax cuts are beginning to decimate this country in a huge way. And that will be more and more evident as we continue on. The rich really benefited. People making over $300,000 a year, the top 1% of Americans, are the ones who benefited. And most middle-class people did not benefit very much from the tax cut and the horrible downside of it. So, you know, for the cost of a pizza a week or a pizza a month, you got some money back. But the price this country's going to have to pay for not having those funds in the aggregate is enormous. Will become a Potemkin village. And you know what that is, don't you? It's like the false fronts of Western towns where it looks like it's a village, but, you know, it's all fake. That's what a Potemkin village is. 303-382-1150. And if you are a supporter of Sean Mitchell and this legislation, 1375, limiting the teaching, you can't teach anything about prominent homosexuals in history, I'd like to know how you justify that. Please call me. Explain this to me. I don't get it. Joanne in Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I don't think that's what the bill says, 1375. I think it's just an opt-in bill at this point with the amendments.
Well, I'm getting...
I think that's what it originally said, but Sean Mitchell on the 15th, he brought in some amendments that said rather than an opt-out system, which is what we have now,
mm-hmm.
you know, the forms come home, you can opt them out if you want. Now the system, you have to opt them in, and they also have to give you the curriculum, which they didn't do in the past. That's my understanding of the bill.
I'm not sure that's our understanding of the bill.
I just got an article here from the Westminster Window,
mm-hmm.
and it's the 25th, and that's exactly what it says. So I was just wondering, because I know what you're talking about was the initial version.
Well, the information we have is that they're slugging it out today in chambers, but I'll check on that.
Yeah, I really don't think that's the case.
But also, the whole idea, the whole impetus for this was the fact that the one woman in Boulder, who was very homophobic, trying to cloak this whole business into a form of parental control of what your children will learn about sex education. So I know they've modified that part of it very greatly.
That's exactly right. There was some objection with the Boulder County School parent, and they went to Mitchell because that's their district. He's in there, you know, he's a representative, and he went forward with that. But then there was objection. And he modified it where now you just have a choice. But they did change it with opt-in rather than opt-out, which is actually a very big difference. And plus including the curriculum. So if this parent is, as you say, homophobic and they're...
You know, now this is really interesting to me because I'm going to tell you something. In California, there is something that's being considered. That we've been looking at, and that is Jackie Speier, who is a prominent legislator there, worked hard, like for several years, to get financial services company, the big powerful players, not to share your financial information unless you opted in. And she was able to do it, and now the federal government is going to undercut it and make it not possible for you to opt in, you have to opt out. And here's somebody, when it comes to sex, you have to opt in.
Yeah.
But when it comes to selling of your most private financial information, the government wants to undercut California and opt out. So I just think a lot of this stuff is a lot of homophobia shrouded into parental control of sex education. I thank you, Joanne. We'll look into it. Thanks very much. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your free AM 1150 KNRC coffee mug by going to our website, KNRCradio.com. KNRCradio.com. And then unlimited free refills at Sugar Beet Cafe with your mug. Just another way to say thanks for listening to AM 1150 KNIC.
Family dinner tonight? Try great-tasting Tyson chicken breasts, nuggets, and tenders. Naturally wholesome Tyson chicken. Ready in minutes, oven, or microwave. Pick them up tonight in your grocer's freezer. Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find DataTarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. DataTarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. DataTarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. DataTarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
Wednesday on Court TV, an all-new, all-real Forensic Files. An ATM machine and a couple of how-to manuals. Do they add up to suicide?
There needed to be some additional investigation done.
Or murder?
Seemed like a normal marriage.
Find out how forensic detectives unravel this twisted tale of lies and deceit.
She said, you could commit a murder, and the police were not smart enough to catch you.
Forensic Files, Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific, only on Court TV, the investigation channel.
Flush, rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC. The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Curtis Arts and Humanities Center in Greenwood Village presents Youth Art Month, now through April 2nd. Youth Art Month promotes art by encouraging children in grades K through 12 to create artwork for exhibits in their states. Local students from 30 area schools are part of the exhibit. Hours are Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Wednesdays and Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Curtis Arts and Humanities Center at 2349 East Orchard Road. For more information and for hours on select Saturdays, call 303-797-1779.
It's an epidemic of massive proportions.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
People sitting through mind-numbing classic rock songs that they've heard for the 4 millionth time in order to get crucial information that they need.
I'm a honky-tonk woman.
There is help out there in the radio wasteland. AM 1150 KNRC. With the most entertaining talk in Denver. News at the top and 35 past each hour and traffic reports throughout the day. It's not too late. Help is on your radio.
I'm a free bird. Yeah.
Hear both sides. AM 1150 KNRC. AM 1150 KNRC caught John Kerry confidentially the other day talking about our morning show host, Jimmy Lakey.
These guys are the most crooked, you know, lying group people I've ever seen.
It's scary.
I think Jimmy may be getting on his nerves. What do you think? Find out mornings with Jimmy Lakey exclusively on Denver's AM 1150 KNRC. Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:55 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. This Sean Mitchell sex ed bill has gone through a certain number of transmogrifications. It wanted to muzzle everything, and it was very extreme. It's gone through some changes. The latest one we have is that this is a bill summary that it would prohibit a school district from providing instruction relating to sexual lifestyles that are alternative to heterosexual relationships, except in the context of concerning the risk and prevention of STD, sexually transmitted diseases. So this is pretty, you know, apparently it was so extreme that it wasn't there was no chance that it was going to pass the other way. But still, the whole idea that the legislature should get involved, that you only can be taught about heterosexuality, is amazing to me. This is just really remarkable. Very quickly, Jim in Boulder, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. I went to that talk by the Rocky Flats grand jury foreman last night that you mentioned was coming.
Yes, Wes McKinley, and?
He was great, and Jackie Brever was great, and they mentioned that the FBI investigator, John Lipsky, had been told to stop investigating Strontium 90 and lots of other things because the Department of Justice was trying to make a deal on a cover-up. So he didn't investigate these things. Jackie Brever said there was plutonium fluoride and lots of other stuff they would just pour out into ponds and had an irrigation system that went down into a creek, into a drinking water supply.
Well, the more I hear about that story, the more I want to look into it. Jim, I'm glad you went last night, and thank you for the report. And you're the one who gave me the T-shirts?
Oh, yeah. Someone who works here sent them to you.
Thank you so much. They are really wonderful T-shirts. I really appreciate having them. We told everybody about them. How can people get your Impeach Bush T-shirt? And Bush is a loser. He's lost the moral ground. He's lost everything. What? How do we get these?
Great. They could call us here at 303-444-6430. Or we also have a website, www.jimmorris.com.
Jim, thank you very much. I appreciate having them. Thanks very much. 303-382-1150. And with us in the studio, Billy Thorpe, who's going to be filling in. We just have a few seconds left. Who's filling in for Doug, 3 to 6, right here. What are you going to be talking about?
Well, I'll pick up a little bit on your discussion about Senate Bill 1375. Some interesting language contained inside the bill, and I've got some questions about, is this really a public health and safety issue? That's one of the reasons they say that we need immediate passage of this bill at the tail end of the legislation.
They can only teach heterosexuality is a public safety issue?
Yep, it's at the tail end of the bill,
How come that? That's a safety issue.
That's what I want to know. Section 3, safety clause. The General Assembly hereby finds, determines, and declares this act is necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, and safety.
They get that part out that they can't teach about prominent homosexualities in history?
I think that's out of there so far. Yeah, this version, it's kind of out of there.
Isn't it amazing that he would even put that in to begin with?
Well, it's also amazing. Everybody bashes Kerry and said, well, he was so crazy to cut, certain terrorism and counterterrorism budgets and CIA funding. Yet this bill doesn't have a single co-sponsor, nor anybody sponsoring it in the Senate. Sean Mitchell standing alone on this one. So is he as crazy as Kerry was, or is he not? I want to know.
Is he up for re-election?
I don't know. Maybe he is. I'm not sure if
he is. Is he pandering to his base?
I'm kind of curious. If nobody else will stand with him, does that mean he's as crazy as Kerry was?
So rabidly,
I want to know.
When someone's so rabidly homosexual, you have to wonder what they're frightened of.
Yeah. I've got some questions about that. And also,
is he married?
I don't know if he is.
Oh.
And we're also going to talk a little about Richard Clark, I guess, if we'll go off the assumption. Okay, we'll assume at one point Richard Clark lied. When did he lie? That's what I want to know.
Oh, when? Richard Clark?
Did he lie when he was saying that George Bush was doing the best thing he possibly could on terrorism?
Oh, I think
or
Richard
did he lie
Clark
in the book?
Is wonderful.
But when did he lie? He has statements to contradict each other.
We'll see about that, Billy Thorpe. Billy Thorpe from 3 to 6 right here. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for doing a wonderful job producing the show. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for doing a wonderful job keeping us on the air. And thanks to all of you who called and listened. Billy Thorpe up next. I'll see you noon to 3 tomorrow. It'll be a fabulous Friday. Remember, State of Colorado tomorrow from 9 to 10. Do something generous. I mean it.
Time now for the 180-degree turn to the right. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michelle Caruso Cabrera. A new audio tape, allegedly by Osama bin Laden's top deputy, calls on Pakistanis to work hard to overthrow President Musharraf. Analysts believe the tape was made within the past 3 weeks. Yesterday's critical testimony by former administration terror expert Richard Clark may have sparked an interest in National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice to go before the 9/11 Commission. From the White House, NBC's David Gregory reports.
Senior officials here at the White House say, indeed, Dr. Rice is in the process of officially communicating to the 9/11 Commission to indicate her desire to meet with commissioners again privately. Now that she is not offering to testify under oath. That's what the commission would like her to do.
Wall Street soared today. The Dow was up nearly 170 points. The S&P climbed 18. The NASDAQ added over 58 points. I'm Michelle Caruso Cabrera, NBC News Radio.
Another startling fact from Progressive. When most Americans listen to car insurance commercials, this is what they hear. Talk about boring. It rivals, grouting your tub. So here's some real news. At Progressive.com, we'll give you our direct price and in most cases the rates of other big name companies. You could save hundreds. So go to Progressive.com or call 1-